For the people who don't know me, my name is Gerald Costica. Yeah. I have, please.
For the people that do know you.
For the people, the ones that aren't clamping, those are the people that do know me. Okay, so I've been with this project now for about 3 years. And in that time, I have learned a lot, okay? Let me tell you what happened with me and how I got into this and what led me to being up on this stage with you guys today. A little over about 3.5 years ago, very good friend of mine named Daniel D. McCauley contacted me, and I'd worked with Daniel before as the director of sales and marketing for his last company that he was the chairman for. He contacted me and said, there's this thing I want you to take a look at, Jerry. I did a lot of his internet stuff, so he asked me, based on getting my opinion, to take a look. You know, he called me up and asked me to take a look at this water thing, all right? Now, I have a lot of respect for Daniel, so I went ahead and looked at it. And I want to tell, and actually before I really get started, for the people that are here, just so you know, there's another 100 people outside right now. So, you know, you guys got here when you were supposed to. So that's the way it works sometimes. How many people in the room right now have been in the project 6 months or longer? By show of hands. Wow, you guys have a lot of faith in me, don't you? For the people that are brand new, 6 months or less, please raise your hands. Okay, suckers. No, I'm only kidding. 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 Okay. The reason I ask that is that for the new people that just raised your hands, you've been in this 6 months or longer or shorter, today is to help you catch up with those other people that raised their hands first. Okay? That's what the intention of this is. All right? When I was introduced to this thing, what the new people have at their disposal did not exist. The people that have been here longer, 2-3 years, you people know exactly what I'm talking about. When I looked at the Enagic website for the very first time, unimpressed was an understatement. There were grammatical errors, spelling errors. There was stuff that just didn't make any sense. And I'm looking at this thing going, what is this? And I thought to myself, this is one of those new wave, new age, mumbo jumbo, going to save your life health projects on water. That's what I thought. And if you thought the same thing, I'm with you, because I thought it too, okay? When I looked at it, I was like, what is this thing? Well, after some time of reviewing and looking, actually about 9 months worth, I finally realized this could be something that could be good, and I pursued it. Well, upon that pursuit, Daniel, whom I was kind of his right-hand guy at our last project, he came to me and said, look, Jerry, I need you to get up to speed and know the stuff on this. Okay? That's your part. So I immersed myself. I literally dove into this thing and really learned a lot to become the answer guy, more for Daniel than anybody else. Well, Daniel then started referring people to me that had questions. So if you, at the beginning of this, about 2.5 to 3 years ago, if you had a question that went to Daniel, I answered it for you. I just want everybody to know that. But it was okay, because what that ended up doing is it forced me to almost become an expert in this. Okay? It forced me to learn so many different avenues and aspects of this project that it allowed me to write the book that all of you guys have in your possession now. Okay? The reason I wrote the book is because I'm selfish. And not for the reason that you might think. It's not about this. It was about this. Okay? What I was finding was happening is as this project was progressing and more people were finding out about it, well, more and more people were finding out that I was the answer man. And my number is out there a lot. Okay? So I was finding that I was getting between 25 and 40 calls a day from people I did not know, asking me generally the same questions. So, you know, 30 to 40 times a day, I'm pretty much answering like 5 main questions, but to 35 to 40 people. So I'm repeating myself over and over and over again. So I figured, hey, what if I put everything, the main questions people have, between 2 covers of a book? Maybe that'll free up my time more, because when they call, instead of me taking 35 minutes to explain something, I can tell them section 15. It's going to be a lot easier for me. That's the reason I did it. Okay? So it was selfish in motivation. But I also did it for my team members. because I knew that having the information at their disposal would make them better distributors. So that was really the reason that I really did it, okay? So it looks like we're filling up a little bit better now, so I'm going to go ahead and really get into the meat and potatoes of today. So first off, what we're going to do, oh, and by the way, for those who haven't opened your packet, and yes, to answer your question, the air's on as much as it's going to be. So if you want to know why it's so hot in here, look around the room and look at some of these ladies, and you understand, okay? So there's nothing we can do about it, guys, okay? It's just, there's nothing we can do. It's just the way it is, all right? In your packages, that was pretty good, wasn't it, guys? Remember that one. Write that one down, gentlemen. There's a notepad in your package, okay? Okay, in your packages, there's a copy of the book. There's a copy of today's PowerPoint presentation. There is also a full pad of paper, a pen, and a highlighter. Here's the deal. I don't like excuses. So I take them away from you, okay? I take away the ability to make an excuse. Somebody says, oh, yeah, Jerry, I didn't have a chance to take notes. I didn't have a pen. It's in the envelope. Oh, I didn't have a piece of paper. There's a whole pad in the envelope. Well, I didn't know it was important. There's a highlighter, okay? Now, one of the things I want to remind everybody before we really jump into this is with the book, I want everybody to do me a favor when it comes to the book. The book is not to be on a bookshelf, okay? At the end of this whole thing, we're going to have a little book release party that I'm having catered. We're going to have a fantastic, just some great food. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be signing everybody's copies. And if you come to me a year from now and you go, Jerry, I got your book back when you introduced it. Oh, it's been great. Look, and you show it to me and it looks like it does today, I'm going to tell you to get away from me. Okay? But if you come to me and you show me this tattered, abused, just marked up, written up. If you guys notice in the book, every page has a note section on the bottom. Every page. Okay? I want you to abuse this thing. Circle stuff. Write stuff in it. Use that highlighter. That's why I gave you the highlighter. It wasn't to highlight your notes. It was to highlight my book. Okay? I want you to use it. And in order to use it, you really need to make it. So when you pull one out and it's just like tore up, I'll get you another copy. Okay? Because that's what I want to see. Because then it means, signed. Then it means you're putting the information to good use and you really get it. Okay? But if you show me a pristine copy that's been on your bookshelf for 12 months, then you're probably going to be about the same place you are today in this business. Okay? All right, let's take a look at the goals that we're looking for today. Okay? Because it's always important to know what you're trying to get out of being here. Okay? It's a beautiful day. And I know I'm good looking and all, but you know, I'm sure you'd rather be listening to somebody else than me. There's other options, right? So let's figure out why we're here today, okay? The first thing is, I want you to leave with a new understanding of our business. I was actually having a conversation earlier today that I was mentioning, I want you to see this business from different perspectives, okay? And what I mean from that is looking at it from a different angle. Has anybody here ever been to an air show? I mean, the guys do the loop-de-loops and stuff, right? That's pretty exciting, right? You're watching these F-14s and you're watching the biplanes and these guys doing all this stuff. Well, let me ask you something. Do you think the air show looks any different from the cockpit of a plane? Wait, but it's the same show. Right? It's the same show. Everything that's happening is happening identically. But perspective changes the experience. So what I want to do is I want to show you this project through a couple of different angles so that you can see it differently and understand it from other angles. Because I think once you understand the magnitude, it'll really inspire you. It'll make you look at this thing much, much differently. We're going to learn how to truly maximize meetings and events. We're going to uncover the secrets of effective sampling. Analyze and understand your role in the marketplace. We're going to actually do some business stuff, okay? We're going to go beyond the you know, share the water, share the events, share the information, share the business. We're going to take this to the next level, okay? That's what this training is about. We're also going to discover some team-building strategies and techniques and some forecasting on the future of this project, okay? Ultimately, what we want to do is help you become more knowledgeable and a better distributor. That's what our goal is, okay? So with that in mind, is everybody on the same page of knowing what our goals are?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, we need to work on this. If I ask a question, and as long as it's not rhetorical, I would like a response, okay? A big response. This is being recorded for prosperity's sake. So, if we're all on the same page about knowing what our goals are today, please let me know.
Yes!
There we go. Can I get a holla? There you go. Okay, let's jump into this. Getting started right. We're on the starting line, and we're going to start this thing right. Pretend your business started today. Okay? Forget all of your successes, but more important, forget all your failures. Okay? Other than learning the lessons, not to do them again. All right? We're going to start with an unusual distributor to-do list. Okay? As a new distributor, now remember everybody, you're getting a copy of this PowerPoint. So, yeah, it's in your thing. So the notes that you write, I want you to write mental notes to yourself. Because you have all of this, you're going to have every slide at your disposal to review back again, okay?
Awesome.
All right. Okay, so here's our to-do list. The first thing as a new distributor that you need to do is you need to take this business seriously. You need to treat this business like a business, not like a hobby. Because what will happen if you treat this like a hobby? It will produce for you like a hobby. And hobbies are fun, but they're not financially prudent, okay? Treat it as a business. It's an extremely important thing to do. You need, and you know what? This is going to sound so cliche, but you got to have the right attitude. You got to come into this thing right, which is being positive. And again, I know it's cliche, and it's so easy to do this. And let me tell you what: you want motivation, you see Danny DeMacaulay. Okay, that's what God. We joke around. We say, you want motivation, see Danny. You want education, see me. That's why we make such a good team. Okay, but he is. He's fantastic in being able to see the spark inside a person and throw kerosene on it. Because it's there. He just brings it out in such a larger, you know, it's just amplified so much. So you got to have that positive attitude. You have to come into this like I wish Dr. Lee was here. Dr. Lee had this thing he used to always say, that when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Okay, that means you need to come in with an open mind, ready to learn. If you come into this thinking you know everything, you're done. And I don't mean in a good way. You're done because you're not opening yourself up for the new information that you're going to need to learn to truly be successful. So get ready to learn and master the processes. Just so everybody, when this is in quotes, processes. What I mean by that is everything in this business, as a matter of fact, everything in the direct sales, network, MLM, all those type of industries, there's processes to everything. Simple steps of 1, 2, 3s, sometimes 4s and 5s. But if you learn the processes and you implement them, the business takes care of itself. See, everybody wants to overthink this thing and complicate it and make it more than it needs to be. And you don't have to do that to be successful. As a matter of fact, the people that do that the most are the people that are the least successful. The people that learn the processes and they understand the simplicity, they're the ones that are the most successful. Okay? So if you want to be successful, learn these processes. Prepare for necessary sacrifices. There's one catch to the success in this project. Okay, I'm going to lay it out for you right now. You do have to work. You guys knew there was a catch, right? However, if you work hard, smart, and diligently for a couple of years, this thing can produce a decade or two worth of income and financial reward. Okay, so it's more than worth doing it. If anybody wants to know why you want to prepare for sacrifices and do the sacrifices today, the next time it's about 5:15 in the afternoon, go over a bridge that goes over the freeway. Okay? Look left and look right. That's why you want to give the next couple years of sacrifices, because then you can get off that damn freeway for the next 20 years. Okay? And I'm telling you, if you haven't... Start paying more attention to what's out there, because when you actually pay attention to it and look at it, it's a scary sight. Because you know those people are doing that every stinking day. And it's tough. It's tough. You want to know why everybody's all aggro all the time and going all crazy about stuff? Yeah, go sit in a car for 4 hours a day for 20 years. So be prepared for the necessary sacrifices to gain success here. Commit to your success, to you and your team. You have to be committed to it, okay? And it's just like a marriage. And I know maybe that's not the best anecdote, because those don't seem to last too much either these days. But the ones that do, you know that they do because of the commitment level that's in, with each person. You know, the people who have this, you know, marriage is a 50-50. Really? Last time I checked, there was two people, and each person had 100% at their disposal. So if you have a 50-50, that means 50% is going off to the wayside. Okay? My wife and I just celebrated our 16th anniversary in December. Okay? It doesn't feel like it, though, at all, which is very good. But I know for a fact that one of the reasons that we were able to do 16 years like it was nothing is because of the level of commitment. We don't do this 50-50. We're in it 100-100 each. Okay? So you have to give it 100% for you and for your team. This one, that a developer just do it, no excuses, never quit mentality. If you can do that, you're 90% there. The rest is just learning the processes and implementation. Okay? Realize that how you start this business will really determine where it goes. Have you guys ever seen a race where when they they shoot the gun, pow, and everybody but one guy gets a great, that one guy does that. He doesn't win the race. I don't care who he is. He doesn't win the race. Why? Because coming off the starting blocks really usually does determine where you will ultimately wind up. Okay? So realize that. You need to start right. And it's more important probably for everybody in this room for you to relay this to your new people. You got to get them started right so they don't stumble. That make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, let's continue on. We're going to talk about the basics. See the recipe? Stop trying to change it. Stop substituting salt for sugar. It doesn't turn out the same way. You guys know that, right? Bake it, if you don't, for those who don't understand what I'm talking about, go home today and bake a cake, and instead of sugar, put salt. Okay? And when you eat that first piece, you'll understand. It's not the same thing. So you don't have to change. Learn the recipe of the business. And this is the basic recipe. See, we don't want you to be chefs yet. Where is our chef? I saw him earlier. Where is he? I know he's here. There he is. We're not asking you to be that yet. We're asking you to be able to make a grilled cheese sandwich. Okay? Without the grill and without the cheese. Just learn how to put two pieces of bread together, okay? That's what you need to learn first. You guys can graduate to becoming these Epicurean wonders, but in the meantime, learn the basics, all right? So what is the basics? And we teach this all the time. Share the product, share the business, promote the events. Practice on your hot market, folks. Stop being in this business for a week and trying to post ads. You don't know what the heck you're doing. And if you don't know what you're doing, what you're going to do is you're going to burn through people that could have been potential customers and distributors. Practice on your hot market. Does everybody know what hot market is? Boy, that wasn't encouraging.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that as a no. Okay, let me tell you what hot market. There are varying degrees of marketplaces for an individual. Hot means the person will listen to you just because it's you. And there aren't very many of them. Mom, dad, aunt, uncle, cousin, brother, sister, it's your like immediate close circle. All right? That's your hot market. Why do you want to practice on them? Because when you screw everything up, they're already used to you screwing everything up. So they are more accepting of it. You're not going to burn that bridge because you accidentally spray them with your Sprite that you're using for your demo. However, if you have a brand new person that you've never really known before and you open that bottle up and it squirts all over them, I can pretty much guarantee it's over. Okay? So practice on your hot market. See, that's your hot. Your warm market are people like the people that you work with, the people that you do a little bit of socialization with. That's your warm market. Again, people that will listen to you. Then you've got your lukewarm market. That's the people that you know in your day-to-day life. Okay? You go to the same market every day for 10 years, and the person behind the counter, you've known by name, but only because she happened to have a name tag. But you know her. You've had a little banter back and forth. That's a lukewarm market. Your cold market are people that do not know you. They never met you before, and they're meeting you for the very first time. Don't start with those people. The hot market is what you want to start with, and that's where you want to practice. Okay? And again, because when you practice and make mistakes, they will be forgiving of those mistakes. You want to work with your referrer or a mentor, and you want to learn as much as possible, as quickly as possible. The bottom one is probably the most important of this slide. Assume responsibility for your success. Stop thinking somebody else owes you success. Stop thinking somebody else is going to create it for you. You need to assume responsibility for your own success. And what that means is you need to do what you need to do to make it happen. If you're waiting for your sponsor to make it happen, you could be waiting a long time. See, I want to be a 6A waving to my 2A sponsor. Hello, it's nice up here. Okay, so don't wait. You take it upon yourself. But look, if the person who brought you into the business isn't here today, shame on them, but kudos for you. You want to know why? Because your business is going to grow where theirs is not going to. This is not MLM, you guys. They will get cut off as you succeed. And then they'll be sorry they didn't like really try to make it happen. So don't put your success in the hands of somebody else. Okay? Learn the basics about the water. Learn stuff like the difference between 8.5, 9.0, and 9.5. This is the basics. When you're a brand new person, this is what you want to be focusing on. If you're going to learn stuff, don't learn about what the ORP did to this and all these different technicals. You don't need that stuff. Learn the basics. That's all you need. If you learn the basics, consider your education. Basics are your fundamental, your foundation. You're building upon that. Don't try to you can't put the top floor of the building at the bottom. It doesn't make sense that way. So you have to build your foundation first, and it's with the basics. Drink, drink, drink. These are the things that you want to really start, okay? Drink the water and create your own personal story. When you first get started, it's okay to utilize somebody else's story for information's sake when you're talking to other people. But the most important thing is creating your own story. Why? It turns from information to passion. And that's huge, because when you're telling someone, when you're relaying somebody else's story, you're telling someone else's story. When you're relaying yours, you're relaying the passion that happened as a result of the results. Okay, and there's a huge difference in people. It's like somebody telling you about something strictly for the sake of informing you and really that you know what's going to help them, and that's why you're sharing the information, or being sold. You guys know what I'm talking about? Like being sold? Anybody who's not doing this, go to a car dealership when you leave here today. Just walk on the lot for about 13 seconds. You'll understand what I mean about somebody talking to you and you being sold. Okay? That's not how you want to talk to people about this. You want to be able to drink the water to get your own story. And I'm telling you, when you have your... How many people in this room have their own story? Todd, you don't have your own story?
I do.
Well, raise your hand then, man. What are you doing? There you go. Thank you very much. Okay. When you have your own... Am I right or am I wrong? When you have your own story, does it make conveying information about this much easier?
Yes.
It's because there's passion inside of you. You have a vested interest in the water because it helped you. That's why it's important to drink the water, create your own personal story. Make drinking the water a priority. That's something else. And drink enough water every day, involve the entire family, and take it with you. How many people have bottles? Let me see them. Up in the air. Bottles. You got them? Put them up. Okay. Everybody should have a bottle with you. You want to know why? This is part of your calling card right here. When you're in a restaurant, don't put it on the floor. Don't put it on the seat. Put it on the table. Ask for an empty glass. Right? My last sale. Waitress at the claim jumper. I swear to God. Can I have an empty glass, please? She ended up buying a machine. You want to know how? Let me give you this little side story. So I'm there. It's a restaurant we go to often. We come in. Waitress that we have helping us a lot of the times, she comes up. I can tell there's something wrong with her. She's got that look on her face like, there's something wrong with her. And I asked her. Kind of funny how those work together, right? I said, Heather, what's wrong with you? And she said, is it that obvious? I said, no, I can just tell there's something. And she said, I've had a headache all day long. And I go, wow. Go get a glass. Okay. And she left and she came back and she brought an empty glass and I poured her a glass this big. And I said, Heather, drink this right now. I said, don't think, drink. Just the whole thing. Okay. She came back about 10 minutes later and she goes, I don't know if it was psychological, but my headache's gone. Tell me more. About a week later, she bought her machine, full payment, by the way. I say that because most people wouldn't think waitress at the claim jumper is going to drop down full payment. Absolutely. Don't prejudge. It'll kill you. So definitely take it with you. Calling card. Remember that. Okay? right?
Well, I take it to school. I have a gallon jug I carry around with me at school every single day.
He does. The big Enagic gallons? How about this? Somebody stole the one from him already. During PE, he had it sitting there. He came back. It was gone. And what's really cool is there's some other students at his school that have machines at their houses. So I'm collecting a list. I think I know who might have done it. That one right there. Learn how to use your bottle as an icebreaker, okay? Because it's very easy. The water is the bridge. It connects everything. Okay? It connects everything. That's what brings everything together. That's why the water is such an important and vital piece of this project. All right? Okay. We've got a whole society hooked on bottled water. Okay? Commit to breaking the bad habits. When you're talking to your people, when they're doing the sampling, they have to commit to it. But you know, more importantly, when you start drinking the water, you have to commit to it. You have to be able to say, you know what, I'm not going to drink that stupid soda. I'm not going to drink that stupid sports drink. I'm not going to drink these things that I now know for a fact are bad for me. I'm going to forgo those and give this an actual chance. If you're willing to do that, you guys already know. You'll see the results. You'll see the results. Sharing. Again, these are the basics. This is the foundation of your education. Okay? Master how to give away free water. Learn what not to do first, okay? And we've learned it. So what you want to do is, let me tell you, you want to know how you want to learn if you're a brand new person? Pay attention to what your sponsor or the person that's introduced you to the water, pay attention to what they've done and what they're doing. But hopefully they're doing it right. That's one of the things we're going to be talking about today, is are you doing it right? Were they doing it right? Because here's the fact of the matter, folks. Whatever they're doing with you is what you're learning how to do. So if they're teaching you correctly, then you're learning correctly. If they're teaching you wrong, you're learning wrong. And if you've learned it incorrectly, guess what you're going to wind up doing when you start teaching it? You're going to do it incorrectly as well, okay? So here's the thing, okay? See, some of the bullet points when it's what not to do, okay? You don't need any brilliant ideas. We've already thought of them, and they don't work, okay? Don't go whale hunting before you've caught a minnow. Anybody know what whale hunting is? Yep. Tom, you know what whale hunting is. Tom and his business, he knows what whales are big time. Whales are the big dogs. That's when you're going to come in and with one sail, you're going to go 6A. How many times has it happened? You sold 100 in one shot?
No,
I mean one shot. Like they buy one. No, Pierre, yeah, but Pierre's a whole different story. So. He knows how to catch minnows already. So, but that's what it's saying is get some success under your belt before you go to try to knock down, you know, the doors of Whole Foods. Okay? It's unrealistic to think that you're going to be able to do it. Not to mention the fact, if you learn how to fish, it's very, you know, you do the whole little bling. Okay, caught one. Try going whale hunting. You need a boat. You need a crew. You need some harpoons. You need a... There's all this other stuff involved, and while you're gathering all that stuff, all these other people are catching a lifetime's worth of minnows. So stop the whale hunting, and don't reinvent the wheel, all right? We've already figured out how to do this thing, and you might be really smart, but so are a lot of the people that have already been doing this, and we've learned the lessons, so take advantage of the lessons we've learned. Start with the easiest markets again. Your hot and your warm markets, start with those. They're the easiest for you to gain your experience with, because again, they're forgiving if you mess up. Here's the mindset. You guys have heard Danny say this a million times. You get near me, you're going to get wet. Now I should have had a bigger laugh than that. Let me try that one more time. You get near me, you're going to get wet. Okay. I was saving you guys. It's like a Gallagher. Give me a sledgehammer and I'll... Okay. Learn from the mistakes of others. That's our mistakes, you guys. Learn not to give some old lady a 5-gallon jug so she kills her cat. Okay? We don't want to do that. We've learned. Give her a 1-gallon. It's manageable. It holds the properties better. She can actually take advantage of it, and she can give it to her cat, and her cat feels better too. okay? So learn some of the lessons that have been out there. Here's our summary of getting started right, okay? First off, again, take this business seriously, okay? Because you're going to get out of it what you put into it. So if you take it serious, if you treat it like a business, it will produce like one. And I'm not saying it does overnight, okay? If you're thinking it's going to, this isn't get rich quick. This isn't money falls from the ceiling. It's not. It doesn't work that way. This is legitimate. You put the effort in, and this business will grow for you, okay? But you got to put the effort in. That's, again, that's the catch. You actually have to do some work. Get the right attitude. You just need that positive attitude. Because what the positive attitude is going to allow you to do is it's going to allow you to get through the ups and the downs. Okay, the ups are pretty well easy to get over and get through because they're positive. But the downs are when you need that positive attitude. Because when you have a down, that positive attitude will remind you of the ups. It will remind you, you know what, man? Another up's right around the corner. It's cool. It's all right. Because in life, and we all know this, every no is that much closer to a yes. Okay? It started in high school for prom. No. Okay. No. Okay. No. Okay. Yes. All right. Okay. Every no brings you that much closer to the yes. All right, you guys? You just got to put everything in perspective, right? I'm telling you, you got to look at things from different angles, and they look different. Learn the recipe of our business and follow it, okay? Become a master of the grilled cheese sandwich. That's what I'm saying, okay? Is if you can master that, then you can start to... Because chef, when you go to a chef school, tell me if I'm right. Why, his first name is Pascal. God, I'm like going, like I keep thinking Pierre. Pascal, when you become a chef, your first day at like Le Cordon Bleu, do they have you make a flambé or a soufflé, or do they show you how to hold a knife? Isn't it the basics? They teach you a fundamental basic that then you can build off of? Isn't that the way it works? See? Did you hear what he said? Hold a knife and cleaning. That's what they teach you when you become a chef. If you understand, so okay, you guys, here, it's the same thing. We're not saying that you can't become a chef. Just understand that you don't start as Gordon Ramsay. You don't. You start as me, you know, prep cook, hungry hunter, San Diego. I did. I know how to use a knife. I'm pretty quick. Okay, so learn the recipe and follow it. Drink the water and develop your own personal story. That's so important, okay? Because again, you're setting an example. So make sure it's an example that's worth following. Make drinking the water a priority. Guilty of not doing it. At the beginning of this project, I drank this stuff like it was going out of style. I'm serious. This is like, what is this, a half gallon? I was drinking four of these a day when we first started. First thing in the morning, first thing I did. Sometimes now, I notice the clock and it's 11:30 or 12 in the afternoon and I haven't had a drink of water yet. It's easy to become lackadaisical with it. Now, in my own defense, I don't get up till 11. So let's. It's not that bad. Hey, you know what? Sunsets are so much more beautiful than sunrises. Depends on which way you look. And again, it does depend on which way you look at it. I look at a sunrise with my eyes shut. But you have to make it a priority. And it's easy at the start. And like anything else, you'll start taking advantage of it. You'll take it for granted and you'll start ignoring it. And it's, again, it's just like a marriage. Am I right? Because it's like the honeymoon period ends. And when that happens, you have to intentionally really work on it that much harder. Okay? So make it that priority in your life. Learn how to effectively share the water, which we are going to be talking about a little bit more in just a little while. And realize that starting right is the foundation of your business. Again, remember that starting block. Okay? When that gun goes off, you want everything in position. You want to be prepared. You want to be able to hit the ground running. and you don't want something to make you stumble and fall right out the gate, because what's it going to do? It's going to kill your morale, and now the finish line looks a million miles away, and you might just give up. That's why, does anybody have anybody that started and something right off the bat threw them off? Somebody had a bad sampling experience with a detox or something, and that person, it just killed them. Okay. That's an example of what I'm talking about. So you want to make sure that when you get started right. Okay? All right, where are we at? Awesome. Okay. Attending events. This is the secrets for making the most out of every event. Now, I know this is, you probably all go, oh, I know all of this. No, you don't. I can promise it, you don't. First off, let's define an event. Because some people have like different definitions of what events actually are. They are pretty much, for the most part, anything where a person is up here talking about something about this water and there's a butt in a seat. That is pretty much the definition of an event. We're talking about all this stuff. Now, what you have to understand is all events are important. Now, some events are more important as far as making sure that you are there, okay? Hopefully, by the end of today, you guys will be extremely happy that you were at this particular event. And that anyone that you talk to that wasn't here will be very disappointed that they missed it. Okay? That's what my goal is to have for you guys. But realize all these things are events. So try to get to these and again, anything in Adjic or Congan water related, it's when you've got more than two people, heck, even if you're by yourself, just talk loud. Okay? Have your own little event. Just make sure somebody's within earshot, okay? So all of these things are events. So when I'm talking about events, just remember, I'm actually talking about everything, okay? It's all inclusive. So who should you invite to an event? That does depend on the event, okay? Any type of project presentation, that means that, you know, it's like the demos on Thursday nights here, Michael's on Wednesdays, or the executive luncheons, anywhere where it's really more geared towards new people. Those are the people that you should invite to them, is new people. But let me tell you what, you should also invite distributors. What everybody has to understand is when you first see a presentation, you are a new prospect or a new attendee. After that, the presentations become trainings. Okay, you're not there to just, you know, listen to Danny's witty repartee. That's not what you're there for. You're there to start learning the information and doing it through exposure, okay? So these are the type, distributors are product prospects and new distributors. That's the people you want to have to these. So don't think that just because, well, I've brought somebody to an executive luncheon. Great, bring them again. But this time get them to bring somebody else. But them being there too is very important, okay? Any type of training or distributor event. The new distributors, personally referred distributors, that's also a good one, and active distributors. Those are the people that you really want there. When I say active, let me tell you, we've got over, God, we're probably close to 1,500 sales within our group right now. And of active distributors, I've got in my, you know, Susan and I as a team have sold probably about 30 machines probably. We have about 6 active distributors in that line, okay? Those are the people that you want here. Where's Neil? I know Neil's here. Neil Pinella back there. Annette Blanchard right here. Those are my first 2 sales. They both happen to be very active distributors. And one of them's right there, and one of them's right there, okay? I wanted to make sure they were here. Why? Do they know this information? Yeah, they do. Is it important for them to be here and hear it again? Yeah, it is. Is it more important the fact that they have 2 new people with them to hear this information? Yes, it's very important, okay? So realize you need to have people at these different things. It's going to help your business. So you showing up to the party by yourself is no fun, okay? Show up with somebody else so at least if everybody in the room's boring, you have somebody cool to talk to, okay? You guys recognize him? You don't recognize him? Come on, he's out front every Thursday. He's out front every Wednesday. You guys don't see him? You've never seen him? He's at every executive luncheon. He's at every presentation. He's been at every training. He's there. He looks different, though. Sometimes he doesn't have his briefcase with him. But he's there. He's definitely there. He's the one who's greeting your new guest by looking completely, like, flustered that his person's not here yet. He's waiting out there like a vulture for them to arrive. Because when they get there, he needs to pounce on him and make sure that he gets him in and does everything else. But in the meantime, you know what he's doing? He's pacing, looking at his watch, he's looking at his phone. And that's the message he's greeting every single person with, is this is what you have to look forward to. Yeah, this is Jerry again. I'm just wondering, you said you were around the corner. You don't want that, guys, okay? This is you if you've been that person out front, waiting for a new person to show up, okay? Before presentations, things you need to do. Arrive before your guest. If you show up after your guest, what did you invite them for? It doesn't make any sense. If you're going to have a guest show up, be there so you can greet them, but greet them as they come into the room, not greet them out front after you've been waiting for an hour, okay? Help create a good first impression for everybody's new people, not just yours, okay? If you're this guy standing out front, like I said, you're creating a very bad first impression for people that are coming up. You want to know why? Because you look like a stress monkey out there. That's the reason. You do. You're out there with your phone and you're doing your clicking and you can hear it in your voice when you're leaving your message for the seventh time. And a new person doesn't want that. They're just like, wow, what's that guy's problem? They're not going to say it, but that's what they're thinking. So you don't want to be that person. You've got to help create a good first impression for everybody's sake, okay? Don't hover out front. Don't be the vulture, all right? It's not good for anybody. Okay, this one. Oh, boy. I'm going to start carrying around double duty duct tape, okay? Because let me tell you what you do not want to do at a presentation. You do not want to have a pre-meeting. You do want to have a pre-meeting. For the people that are listening to the audio right now, after we record this, they'll be very confused right about now because they don't see this. So I'm just going to keep saying pre-meeting and to confuse them even more. So you don't want to have a pre-meeting. And what that means is you do not want to give somebody the blow-by-blow, play-by-play of what's about to happen 15 minutes later. Okay? That means that before the presentation starts, you're sitting there telling them all about the PH and the ORP, and you're using the jokes that Daniel's going to use, and you're telling them this, and you're telling them that, and water, 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 water. And then Daniel gets up here and says, water, and guess what? They're like, I've already heard this. Don't do that type of pre-meeting. The pre-meeting that you want to have is you want to meet with somebody, and for the 15 to 20 minutes that you're with them before the presentation, you know what you talk about? Anything but water. Anything but water. Why? Because the guy who's coming up here that's earning 7 figures a year is going to do it for you. You guys get that? Let him do his job. What you want to talk to the people about while you're sitting here waiting for the meeting to start, how are you doing? How were your holidays? How's the family? Anything but water, okay? Has anybody ever been going to a movie and you're in line and some jerk has seen the movie before and he's standing like one or two people away from you and he's like, yeah, and then when the big rock falls from the hill, he like starts tearing off and then he trips and it like almost gets him. And you're not paying any attention to it till you're in the movie theater. And all of a sudden the big rock falls and you go, oh crap, he's going to trip and it's going to almost get him. But he's going to get out of the way. Dang it! It takes all the punch out of the production. So don't do that. You guys understand what I mean by that? You don't want to do that. Don't steal the thunder of the presenter. That's why they're doing it. They're doing it on your behalf. So don't make a person sit through the presentation twice in a row. It's not nice to them. Get good seats up close. If you are bringing a person to a presentation and you sit in the back row, you don't get it. This isn't like school. The cool kids don't sit in the back. The cool kids sit in the front. You want to know why the cool kids are in the front? Because they can afford the best cars. Okay, so there's a much different approach than when we were in high school. You want to be in the front row because the front row is success. The back row means you got here way late and you don't care. Okay, I'm not saying for you guys here, but in the presentations. But had you got here earlier, you would be up here. But you want to get good seats. It's definitely, you want to get good seats, especially for the sake of for the sake of the guests that you're bringing, okay? You want them to be able to see everything good, hear everything good, and participate. Because the more participation they have, everything that you show somebody in this project, it's known as an exposure. Their participation and being, when Daniel's up here and he talks to this person who's a new guest, they're not going to tell you, but that elevates them. When they leave here, they're a couple inches off the ground. Because they're like, he talked to me. A whole room of people, and he talked to me. Yeah, that's how a person feels. Just so you know, Daniel, the master of what he does, knows that's how a person feels. Why do you think he does it? You think he does it on accident? No. When you have a master that's up here that is working on your behalf, let him do what he does. Okay? That's why get as close as you can to let that man. If you could go to a David Copperfield show and be the guy or person that goes up on stage and pulls away the drape and the car's gone, how cool would that be? Same thing, okay? All right, during a presentation, these are some very important things. Participate when asked, okay? Don't just like shout stuff out. I know everybody thinks that they're very witty. And, you know, they've got some great jokes, and they'll do a little one-liner zing while the person's up here. You don't want to do that. Participation when asked. But again, when a question's asked, if it's a yes or no, please answer yes or no. You know, if it's a please, by show of hands, how many people in this room are breathing? By show of hands. Folks, look around the room. And call 911. Again. By show of hands, how many people in the room right now are breathing? There's still some hands that aren't up. Oxygen. So when it goes like this, guys. Just repeat that, okay? You want to participate. Why? It makes the presentation better. It helps the person up on stage. When you help the person up on stage, it helps make the presentation better for the people in the audience, okay? It's a symbiotic relationship. If you have a good audience, you'll have a great show. If you have a crappy audience, you'll have a really bad show. You will, okay? So understand you're part of it. Don't think that the stage stops here. The stage stops at that door right there. And all of this is part of that stage. And I'm relying on you guys to help energize me. Because I know you don't think it. This takes a lot out of a person. If you've ever presented, you know. Because you've got to be on for 3 hours straight. Okay? Anybody ever sprint? Try doing a 50-yard dash for 3 hours. It can get tiring, okay? So I need to draw energy from you guys. And if you're not giving me any energy, then what's going to happen to me? I'm going to start going much slower, too. And then it's not going to be very good for anybody. Okay? So I need to be able to feel it and be like, yeah, that's what we need, yeah! There we go, see? That's what I'm looking for, okay? Don't make the unnecessary comments or jokes, okay? It's not appreciated. It's not. And the worst thing you can do is for you to get a laugh in the audience that makes it so people can't hear what the presenter's saying. Okay? Be aware of that. Turn off your phone before it rings. How many people were at the training at Enagic with Daniel's training? Okay. How many people heard the ringtone that went off right toward the end when Daniel was having the six A's talking about their experiences? Okay, we're going to have to edit this out. We're sitting here and a person is telling their experience. about going through becoming a 6A and the wonderful things the water did for him. And all of a sudden, in kind of the quietness of the room, we all heard, "Get your ass out of bed. You got shit to do." For the people that were there, am I telling the truth? Now, granted, awesome ringtone, okay? But not the right venue for it, okay? So if you have an alarm set that happens to be at 2:30 in the afternoon, please remember to turn your alarm off. And the worst thing is, it went off again. It was crazy. You don't want that to be you, because you know what happened? I feel bad for the person that was talking because no one remembers what the hell they said. It got completely washed out by that little blah. Okay? So you don't want to be that person. All right? You might have the coolest ringtone in the world, but realize in a situation like this, it is not what people want to hear. That's not what they're here for. Okay? Just so you know, who did I do? I did it to Sonia, didn't I? At one of my trainings, Sonia's phone rang. I came down like this. She can't talk right now. Okay? I'll stop what I'm doing, because obviously you didn't want to turn your phone off. It must be important. And I'm not going to impede on the importance of somebody's, what they've got going on, right? That would be rude on my part. So if you're in one of my, I'm letting you know right now, everybody's pulling their phones out again. Let me check that. If you're in one of my trainings, your phone goes off, we'll wait. It's cool. Okay? So out of respect for the presenter. Actually, you know what? It's not even so much out of respect for the presenter. It's more out of respect for the people around you. You know? It's courtesy for them. All right? And you know what? If your phone, here's what I also hate. A person's very courteous and they turn their phone off. It's on vibrate. It vibrates. Hello? Yeah. No, I really can't talk right now because I'm in a train. Hold on. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah.
If you're going to answer your phone, do this. Hang on. Did you guys hear that? Exactly! I said, hang on, so he could hear it. And then I'm going to walk out of the room and not say another word. I'm not going to start my conversation as I'm walking. And it's like, turn your ringer on then. What are you doing, man? You're disrupting the whole damn thing. Yeah, we'll wait for you. Use some common sense, guys. Okay? It's really easy. Really easy. So anything that you've seen somebody do that you went, I can't believe they did that. Don't let it be you. What else do we got here? Be on your best behavior and pay attention. If you have a new person here, how many people think that they've seen a presentation and product demo a lot? By show of hands. Really put it up there. You've seen it more than 20 times.
Oh, yeah.
50 times. Oh, yeah. 100 times. 200 times. 300 times. How about 500? Anybody think they've seen it 500 times? Okay, well, I can keep my hand up because I know I have. Okay? Hell, we did that, Danny and I, the first 2 weeks we were in the business. When I go to one of these things, when I would go with Daniel, I came in and I had to change my mentality. Every time I walked through the door, it was like I'd never seen it before. I laughed just as hard at the jokes the 500th time as I did the first time. Matter of fact, sometimes I appreciate it even more 500 because I know all the different ways how true it actually is. So you have to come in. See, if you've seen this a few times and you're thinking, well, this isn't for me. This is for my new guest. And you're going to sit there and pull out your phone and you're going to start texting. You know this. You know what you're showing? You're showing, oh, you know, this is important for you to know, but not for me to know. Because I'm too cool for school, and I know all this stuff already. No, you don't. If you did, you'd be the person up here. So if you're going to be in the audience, make sure that you're paying attention and be on your best behavior. There's nothing wrong with that. And be nice. You know, there's nothing wrong with being nice. Look, does anybody want to wait in line? When you came in here today, was anybody showing up going, I hope there's a lot of people. Because I really feel like standing in the sun. No, nobody wants to wait in line. But guess what, folks? Unless you got here when he did, you're going to wait in line. Because he got here 2 hours early. He had no line to wait in. He was bored out of his gourd, but he didn't have to wait in that line. So be on your best behavior. We're all going through the exact same thing, okay? So be nice. Realize that if you get pissy, it's not going to help you anything. It's not going to help matters. If anything, it might make them worse, okay? So be nice. Be on your best behavior. Here's another one, too. Stay for the entire presentation. When Danny gets to the point where he's showing the globe and the expansion and people start to get up, I wish I had a rock. Because I'm a pretty good aim. I'd sit them right back down again, I would. Because they get up and they're walking out. And what they're trying to say is, oh, you know, I know people are going to start to leave in a few minutes. And, the hallway's going to get congested and I don't want to have to, I want my elbow room. I'm leaving now. Don't do that. You're spoiling it for everybody. Stay for the whole thing. Anybody ever wait to the end of the movie at the very end of the end of the end? And there's something there that you wouldn't have known about? We always do that. I wait till the little MGM sign comes up. And the guys with the trash cans go, oh, sir, you're going to have to leave. I go, okay, now it's over. I'm out of here. But I always wait because they're doing that now. They're trying to see. Let's see who really sticks around. And there's some funny ones too. So stay to the end. You should. You get your money's worth. You know, you paid your gas to get over here. Hey, you might as well stick it out, right? Don't ask or answer questions during the presentation. And if you bring somebody who's going to, don't bring them. Okay? I hate it when people come up and they go, hey, Jerry, I got this guy here today. And boy, he's like a loose cannon. And he loves to interrupt people. He's going to ask a bunch of questions. He did some research, so he really thinks he knows what he's talking about. And all I'm thinking is, what the hell did you bring him here for? What's wrong with you? It's like, Jerry, listen, I got this guy with a shotgun. And he's got an itchy trigger finger. And I'm putting him in the front row. Why? What are you doing? Don't bring that person in my house. Are you kidding me? Come on. Use some common sense. If you have somebody that's that kind of person, this type of environment is not for them. Set up a one-on-one type situation for them. Let their questions get answered. Let them get defused. Because we had a guy like this the other night. Asking a bunch. It was, well, aren't you the top of the pyramid? And do. And I'm thinking to myself, God damn. I'm thinking, first, you don't get it. You don't even understand who we are or what we are if you're asking a question like that. But then I'm thinking, who the hell invited you? Because they need to lasso you in, get that little rope and do that 6-second thing. Drag you out of here. Because he's spoiling it for everybody else. Okay? And you don't need that, okay? So don't ask or answer questions. That's another thing, too. Don't start having your own little conversation while the person's up here talking. If the person has a question, you turn and you go, we'll talk about it when it's over. You don't start answering it. Yes, actually, pi r squared, radius. It's like, no, it's not the time. Let him do his job, okay? Use a little common sense. I keep saying that common sense ain't so common anymore. Prove me wrong, please. Okay? Use some common sense. Stupid little things like when you're filling up your bottle in the back of the room and you hear it doing this. Turn your bottle a little bit, moron. That stops making the noise. Have you guys ever heard that? Somebody take a bottle. Just start filling one up. You want to know what it sounds like? It sounds like a man urinating in a toilet is what it sounds like. It's not the most pleasant sound. So what you want to do is not be that guy. Because guess what? Even though you're not paying that much attention to it, the back four rows, all they're listening to is you peeing in the back of the room. It is what it is, folks, okay? That's what it sounds like. And all you have to do, literally, if you hold your bottle like this, the water is hitting water and it's making noise. If you turn it that much, the water is going to the edge of your bottle and it's filling it up slowly and the noise is gone. A little bit of common sense. That's all I ask for, just a little. After a presentation, plan to stick around for a little while, at least a few minutes. The 15 15 to 20 minutes after the presentation is probably more important than the hour and a half of the presentation. Okay? It's an opportunity to do some things that can help seal the deal. Okay? You want to be able to talk to the presenter if possible. You want to be able to talk to someone. And you know what? The next time you go to a presentation of any sort, I want you to do something for me, okay? As a favor to me. When it's over, I want you to kind of step back and I want you to watch. And you watch the people that leave immediately and you watch the people that stick around. And I bet what you're going to find is the people that leave last are making the most money. The people that leave first, they're leaving first so you won't see the car they drove up in. Okay? That's why they're trying to get out of here so quick. You want to stick around. It's very important. You want to have water and materials for your guests. Okay? You also want to have it for your distributors. People that are in my team, do I try to take care of you?
Yes.
Are you my soldiers?
Yes.
Do I ask you to shoot your bullets? Do I tell you to pay for them?
No.
Not until you're a freaking general, okay? It's not your responsibility. If I'm a good general, my soldiers need to have some sort of bullets to shoot. And before I can ask them to pay for them, they need to have their own little army, okay? Which means that's part of the, remember I said sacrifices? Yeah, well, that's a financial sacrifice that you end up making for your team to help them along the way. And again, you know what you're doing when you do that? You're teaching a good habit that if they replicate, your entire team is going to just grow like crazy. Why? Because they're all doing the exact same thing. They're helping their people with new materials as they get up the ranks. And then all you have is all these fantastic, supportive people with just this huge army of people out there that are excited and they're doing the deal. Okay? And that's obviously what you want. Mingle. Let your guests hear some stories. That's extremely important. If you don't stick around, you're not going to hear any stories. You're not going to be able to have them talk to people. And sometimes it's more important to listen than to talk. Listen to somebody what somebody else has gone through. Okay? Steve, right here, front row. Very, very great example of that. He's gone through some cancer issues. He's had some results with the water that are incredible. Okay? When he starts talking, guess what I do? I shut up. Because I'm hoping somebody else around is going to start listening. Because when he starts telling his story, it's amazing. So that's a good thing to expose people to. Alright? Yeah, you want to introduce your guest to the speaker, if possible, okay? One of the reasons you really want to do it now, especially if Daniel's presenting, okay, is because we're still early enough on to where you have the opportunity to introduce him. Because I'm going to tell you guys, unless you're in the fold and you've worked with this guy for 10 years, you give this thing another 2 to 3 years, you won't have the chance. Because you'll have a room with 10,000 people in it. So unless you're behind, you're backstage with him, you're going to be waving to him. This is my guest! No, right now, you can bring him up here. And you can say, oh yeah, this is Daniel D. McCauley. 7-figure earner. Top guy in the entire world with this project. Okay? And that's important. That's big stuff. Okay? Be ready to invite to the next appropriate event. You want to build from one to another, from one to another, from one to another. That's how you build. Okay? Every presentation is an opportunity to anchor. We're going to be talking about anchoring in just a little while. And have applications ready. You know what ready means? Printed and on you. Who's got them on them? Like literally right now. Like on your person. It's funny because the people that have their hands up are the ones that are like, again, the most successful. Okay, here's how to build your month around events. This is important, okay? If you're not going to take physical notes, at least take mental notes on this stuff, okay? This stuff's important. You want to make a schedule every month and you want to stick to it, okay? There's this really cool thing. It's called a calendar. It forecasts the entire year of when the days will actually happen. It's amazing. You should have one. Matter of fact, they have these other things that are even more impressive. They're called day timers. What happened? Oh, there we go. Okay.
You already used that one.
Okay.
Something surfer.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, Jesus. My legs aren't what they used to be. Okay. Get yourself a day timer, get yourself a calendar, make yourself a schedule. You know what you can do? You, like for me, there's a couple of things I know right off the bat. When January came, first Monday of January is the online organization meeting for Kangen 1. It's on my calendar. Every Thursday, there's a meeting here, usually hosted by Daniel D. McCauley, or somebody else that's part of the Kangen 1 team. Every Thursday is already marked off on my calendar. Last Saturday of the month, executive luncheon at Hokkaido, already marked off on my calendar. So these are things that when the month starts, I already have them on there. I'm committed to going to those. And I'm going to be there. Why? That's part of my work. You know, I actually added up, and this was, I didn't realize I put this many hours in. I really didn't. I tallied everything up, 60 hours a month. That's a lot, okay? I mean, it was like 15 a week? I'm going, wow, I work way too hard. That's the hours I put in. You know what? There's a difference between working hard and working smart. Now, if you can work smart and hard, wow. What's the national average now? Like $32 a year? I mean, wait, $36,000 a year, something like that? Okay? It's roughly something like that, right? So if you break that down, it's like $3,000 a month is roughly what the national average is in the United States of America for income. Okay? It's pretty pathetic, actually. So $3,000 a month. So people are working full-time hours, like 40 hours a week or more, to earn $3,000 a month. $3,000, $6,000, $9,000, $12,000. Okay. So, wow. I work a lot less and make a lot more, which is good when you're on this side of it. So you want to stick to that schedule because I take each one of those days that I actually do something and I maximize those hours. Okay? So if you can imagine putting in 60 hours a month and getting reimbursed or paid probably, I don't know, what's 40, 80, 160, 300 hours worth of income a month for doing 60, basically getting five times more out of it because I'm working it smart. That's how you can do it, by creating your calendar, sticking to it. Do these things that are available to you. And that's the other thing too. When you come here, how many people in this room pay each month for this facility to be open? Please raise your hand. How many people pay some type of money each month for this facility to be open at your, and at your disposal? By show of hands. You pay each month? You get a bill?
No, but okay. I do with my guests that I bring because I'm doing whatever.
Okay, I mean actually for the facility. You write a check to the guy who owns the building. So I guess I'm it. Take advantage of me. Take advantage of Daniel. Take advantage of Stan. Okay. All of us write a check for you to be in this room.
Yay.
Now here's the deal. You don't have to write that check, but the room's available to you. So why aren't you here? That, doesn't that seem like a pretty good question? Someone else is paying for you to have this at your disposal, and you're not taking advantage of it? Wow. You must know something I don't. Okay, so what you want to do is, again, every month, make that little list of what you're going to be doing and take advantage of the expenses other people are incurring on your behalf. Okay? All right. Personal goals decide your necessary actions. Most people don't understand the importance of goals. Where's Al Dorsey? I know he's bad. Al Dorsey. That very handsome guy back there with the distinguished beard. That's Mr. Al Dorsey, an extremely good friend of mine. Al is probably one of the top people in understanding the importance of goal setting, okay? Because most people think setting goals is about, you know, saying that I want to make a lot of money. No. There is so much behind goal setting that if you understand, setting goals is like a mathematical equation to success. That you have to come up with an actual number that you're shooting for, because that number can then be broken down by things you have to do in the course of a month, down to a daily basis in order to achieve it. So most people don't understand that. That's why they don't understand, well, why is it so important for me to set goals? Because without it, you'll never get there. Why? Because you don't even know where you're going. If I said, when you leave here today, I want you to get in your car and go for a trip. That's all. Just drive. The question would be, where am I going? I don't know. How am I going to get there? I don't know. That's what people don't understand. Without goals, that's exactly what you're doing. You're setting a course for failure land. Population one when you get there. You don't want that, right? You don't want that. What you want is concrete goals, because again, you can break down. If your goal is to make $100,000 a year, and then you could say, when I go to a meeting and I bring a person to a meeting, it takes 3 meetings for that person to decide to buy a machine. Okay, you can actually break these down into the numbers and everything. And you can say, well, how many of these people do I need for me to make $100,000? And you can break it down like that. And then you can say, well, how many do those people need to bring to a meeting and blah, da, 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 da. And you can actually graph out an equation that tells you how many meetings you need to go to each week, how many people you need to bring to each one, how many people you need to have as distributors. All of this all of a sudden becomes painfully obvious to you. But most people don't break it down like that, so they don't understand what they need to do. And they don't understand why they're not succeeding. You don't have a... Exactly, they think it's magic. That magic wand, it doesn't exist. Might look good with your outfit, but it doesn't exist, okay? It's not really going to do what it's supposed to. So you have to have those personal goals so you know what to do each month, okay? You want to use each event to build for the next one, okay? Anyone who is here today that has some team members or some new guests or some new distributors, when you leave here, what you should be talking to those people about is what's next. And if what's next for you is the executive luncheon on the last Saturday of the month at Hokkaido, then that's what you should be discussing with them, making sure they're going to be there and making sure they're going to have a couple guests there. That you want to take advantage of this right now to build for the next event. Why? Hopefully, if I do my job right, we're going to create a little excitement here. We're going to create something that you can build some momentum off of. So that's what you want to do. Take advantage of it, okay? You're going to use the anchoring technique for every meeting. And I'm going to explain the anchoring. We're going to end up going for a break in just a few minutes, but I'm going to explain anchoring probably in a way you haven't seen before, okay? But you want to use anchoring for every meeting. Here's the process of maximizing meetings, okay? Make your schedule at the beginning of every month. Every month. For some things that you already know are in place, do them for the whole year. Already put it on there. I can tell everybody right now, first Monday of every month, it is done. So mentally, put yourself there. Then physically put yourself there, okay? The meetings that you're going to go to. Every Thursday, if you're there, every Wednesday, whatever it happens to be in your area. I know not everybody's down here. We have a lot of people that are coming from other areas. Whatever's around your area, put yourself there. And if you don't have the big stuff, try to do it or tap into what you can. Okay? When we have the online trainings, tap into the online trainings. When we have the online meeting, tap into the online meeting. This is for the people that might be out of state, that they don't have a presentation right around the corner from their house. Tap into what you can and what is available. Okay? Make that schedule at the beginning of each month. Invite your guests. Okay? This is, again, the process of maximizing the meeting. You want to do the follow-ups and confirmations with the guests that you have coming. One of the best ways is actually go pick them up. You want to know why? Because they'll be there. You won't be that guy out front waiting for them. You'll be the guy walking through the door with them. Big difference, okay? Get or meet your guests. And here's another little secret for you. There's a restaurant right around the corner. There's a restaurant up here. If you want to meet somebody for a presentation, invite them to meet you at the restaurant about 60 minutes prior to being here, okay? Because there's a social stigma of a person inviting you to a meeting and it being acceptable for them not to show up because there's all these other people, so if they don't show up, it really won't be noticed. But if you invite somebody to a restaurant and they don't show up, they're standing you up, okay? So if you invite them to a restaurant to meet you, have a bowl of soup, have a salad, have something, meet them there, do it in a close proximity. Hey, Oh, you know what? Let's run over there now. Let's get over there. Don't trick them and say, hey, I want to buy you dinner. And then afterwards go, oh, by the way, come with me. No, you're going to tell them. You're going to go to this presentation. But don't have them meet you here. Have them meet you there. They're going to be much less likely to stand you up because, again, there's a social stigma connected to it. Okay? That's a little tip for you. Conduct a correct pre-meeting. What's a pre-meeting, folks?
About them.
Nice. That's the best way to say it. It's about them. Not about the water. Okay? So don't talk about the water. Talk about anything but the water. All right? The presentation and the demo, when you attend it, make it new to you every time. Okay? Really pay attention, because I'll tell you what, you might hear something new that you never realized has been there all that time, and it just escaped you. Okay? So pay attention and make it new for you every time. When the joke happens, even if you've heard it 1,000 times before, think about it in a different way. Think about how true it really is. Okay? And it's okay to laugh, but do it genuinely. Don't be like, Robert De Niro in that one movie where he's in the movie theater. You know which one I'm talking about? Cape Fear, that's the one. After the meeting, like I said, stick around for a little while. Take advantage of the availability of the speaker being there for you to talk to. You know, take advantage of it. Don't leave till business is done, okay? Till your business is done. And follow up. It's probably the most important thing when it comes to this, following up. Okay, because don't bring somebody here and then just let them drift away. No, follow up with them. Okay? Here we go. You guys ready for this?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm going to warm up a little bit here. You guys, so ride the wave. I wore my Tommy Bahama. Did you like it?
Huh?
Drop the anchor. Here we go. Definition of anchoring. It's connecting a new person to the project. Now, I want you to understand what I said there. It's to the project, not just the water, okay? You do this through proper direct sampling, proper indirect sampling, and proper exposures. This is how you accomplish connecting a new person. You want to secure the interest of those that are behind your direct prospect. Why? Because that interest will usually motivate that direct prospect to action. So, Steve, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor, buddy. Stand up for a second. Okay. Face me. When I talk to Steve, I see Steve. When I talk to him as a distributor, I see Steve. But I see 100 sales behind him. Okay? He doesn't yet. He doesn't even know they're there. But I see a 6A that just hasn't happened to make the sales yet. But it's there. That's what I'm seeing. So what I want to do is I want to secure the interest of the people behind him. Stop looking at this guy as a paycheck. Okay? Because, Steve, no offense, you're great looking as a single paycheck, but you're a hell of a lot better looking with 100 more, man. You really are, okay? Go ahead and have a seat. You guys understand what I'm saying? You got to realize that all I have to do is convince him he's a 6A. And that's going to make, instead of one check, I'm going to get 100. That seems like a much better deal to me, okay? So really, you need to go behind the people, okay? And when you do the anchoring, what you're doing that in a small way. And then what happens is he learns it, he teaches it, they learn it, they teach it, and it does a domino effect, okay? Effective anchoring will improve sales by at least 10 times. At least 10 times. Okay? When you practice anchoring, it means you're teaching it. Again, remember what I said earlier. Whatever you're doing, that's what you're teaching your people. So if you're doing things wrong, they're doing it wrong too. More importantly, if you're doing it right, they're doing it right. And you can create some pretty incredible stuff. Okay. You want to learn the process of sampling. Again, remember when I said everything's a process? There's a whole section in the book about sampling and the process of sampling. It actually goes in very deep detail about it, okay? You want to learn what your goals are. Again, They're in the process. What's your goal in sampling? Initially, what's your goal? When you talk to a person, is it for you to pull out an application and have them ink it on a first exposure? No. Your goal is to have them say yes to trying the water. That's it. And let me tell you one mistake that a lot of people make is the person will say yes and they keep freaking talking. When the person says yes, shut up. You're done. Get them some water. Get them a glass. Don't give them any more information. You can talk yourself right out of it. Okay? You want to start by delivering the water. This is extremely important. You want to make drinking the water as easy for them as possible. If you have to, like, actually... Steve? To make it that easy on them, do it. Why? Because the easier you make it, the quicker they're going to get hooked. Okay? The quicker the water is going to be able to do what it does. Consistency is key. I was talking to this girl and she was like, yeah, Jerry, we're doing this whole thing with my church and it's fantastic. We got all these people drinking the water. I said, how often do you get them the water? She said, once a week. I said, what are you doing? I go, you're wasting your time. And she said, why? She looked at me and she was like, why? And I said, because you're putting too much time in between benefit. I said, you have to get that water to them at least 2 to 3 times a week. You need that consistency, the strength of the water to have it do what it can do. And so think about that. If you were sampling a whole church and you were doing it wrong, guess what you're doing to that whole church? You're burning that bridge. You're burning that connection because you're not doing it right. Nobody's going to. Then you learn how to do it right. And if you come back to them after you've already messed up, they're not going to give you a second chance. That's why practicing with your warm market, those people that will be accepting, that's why it's so important. Is because then you can screw up and it's not going to cost you big. Okay? And again, you are teaching to sample by what you do. Got to remember that. You are teaching by what you do. You want to learn the difference between fingers and strings. That's what I call it. You can call it whatever you want, but there's a difference between two things I call fingers and strings. And don't become a water delivery person. Ain't your job. Unless you have sparklets on the side of your vehicle, that's not what you're there for. Okay? And it's important to understand the difference between sampling and being a water delivery person. Okay? That's odd. I guess I wanted extra emphasis at the end of the slide of anchoring through effective sampling. You guys know when I put these together, it's like 4 in the morning. So, okay, let me explain. I said fingers and strings. Here's fingers. Pay attention to this stuff, okay? Fingers are people that you are directly giving water to. Okay? That's you, and those are their fingers. Huh? Pretty good explanation of this one, right? Okay. So this is the number of people that you are actually bringing water to. Okay? Now here's a question I want to ask everybody. How many fingers do you have? Do you have 5, 10, 15, 20, 25? How many people are you personally sampling water to individually? Okay? If it's any number past this, where's that third arm? Seriously. If you're doing beyond 10, does anybody in here have more than 10 fingers? If so, hold that 6-fingered hand up. I want to see it. Okay? Toes don't count, Dave. Toes don't count. Here's the point, folks. You've only got 10 fingers, so don't try to make more than that. And I'm going to show you how you can make it to where you don't need to. If you're sampling 25 individual people, you're a water delivery person. Go buy the sparklets truck with all the little green doodads that make all the shinies. That's what you should have, okay? So if you've got more than 10 fingers, you're doing it wrong, okay? Ask yourself this question. Seriously, ask yourself, how many do you have? How many fingers do you personally have? Okay? See, I'm hearing 6, 8, 7, 30, 70, 52, 90. No, you don't want those numbers. You want it 10 or less. Okay? One of the reasons is that's manageable. When you do this thing, I had to, who was it? Tony, who was it? That was, she said, I'm sampling, God, it was like a crazy number. I'm sampling 64 people right now. And I'm thinking, what? And I said, you're getting water for 60? No, I'm bringing water to 64 people. I'm like, when do you sleep? That's insane. Are you crazy? So here's some finger facts. Each finger means a major commitment by you. So even if you've got 10, I want you to think about these. First, you got to find them. Then you got to fill the bottles for them. You got to deliver the water to them, which means time and traffic and gas. You got to keep track of it. Who did I give water on Wednesday? Or was that? Oh no! Right? That's what happens. You've got to provide information for all those people, and you got to answer all those questions for each individual finger. Okay? Keep the fingers to 5 or 10 maximum. If you're able to do that, it will be very good for you. Now, here's the difference with strings. Strings are each person that you are indirectly providing water through your direct prospect. So your fingers are your directs. Your strings are the people behind them. Okay? You're sampling those people behind them through them. Does everybody understand what I mean by that? Do you see the progression? Do you see the difference? I'm getting this water, this water, this water, and this water to just this person. And they get it to this person, and this person gets it to this person, and this person gets it to this. That's a string. And if you can create a string, you can create power. Because the more people you put in between you and this person at the end, the better. Why? Because if this guy decides to buy, this person and this person have to deny the sale for it to get to you. Which means instead of one sale, you could wind up with three. And if anybody doesn't think it happens, you're wrong. It happens all the time. Okay? So what you want to do is learn how to utilize this. And again, it's really in detail in the book. And I hope everybody really reads this section through a few times to really grasp the concept of exactly how to do this. Because if you can do this, it's phenomenal. It is phenomenal. It's the way that when I started with Darren, it's what I did with him. I was getting water to Darren, and I was getting water to like 4 other people through Darren, which meant he was my, yeah, I was giving him 20 gallons of water, but I was giving him 20 gallons of water. And I was letting him be the one to distribute it to this person. And then he was giving them 15 gallons of water. And then they were giving it to this person. And by the time it got to the last person, it was down to the 2 or 3 gallons that they needed every couple days of the week. But with this one person, I'm doing basically the same effort without all the problems that the fingers create. So you're maximizing your effort and you're maximizing the return. So hopefully this concept, and again, I'm scratching the surface on this. The book is in much more detail, so make sure you read through that. Here's some of the string strengths. Say that one 3 times fast. String, 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 string. Creating a string is training a potential distributor. Remember, you want to be doing these things because you're teaching every person you're dealing with what to do, good or bad. So if you're doing this type of sampling technique, that's what they're learning. And if that person decides to become a distributor, guess what they're going to do? They're going to do the exact same thing they were taught. Why? They don't know anything else. They don't know there's a different way that you could do it that doesn't work as well. You want to teach them to talk about the water? Remember I said when you have all those fingers, you've got to answer all those questions? Now teach them to answer the questions. Why should you have to do it all? You want to teach them to do it. Why? Because you're teaching them to become a leader when you do that. Teach them to deliver and give out the water. Again, why? Because then that's what their people are going to see, and when those people decide to become distributors, that's what they will have been exposed to. Teach them the principles of anchoring by showing it to them. You don't have to explain it to them. You have to show it to them. Maximize the efforts by using their contacts. Okay? Remember when I said with fingers, you got to go find them? With strings, you have to find one finger, and you already have their line of contacts behind them. You don't have to go find more. You've already got them with theirs. And the way that this marketing plan is set up with our compensation, finding them and having them make those sales, it benefits us just as much. So it's fine for us to be able to utilize that. Okay, this one, very important, okay? You want to make associate strings, not family strings, okay? So you don't want to sample mom who's then giving water to her two sons and daughter and her nephew. Why? Well, because two sons and daughter and nephew, if push comes to shove and mom buys a machine, she might just decide to give it to them on an ongoing basis and they'll just come over and get it. Why? Because they can. So watch out for the family strings. What I mean by associate strings is stuff like this. You sample a friend. That friend, in turn, gives some water to a coworker. That coworker gives some water to their mother. Mom gives it to one of her friends, and that friend gives it to her brother. Now, everybody's associated, but if brother decides to buy, this mom probably can't get it. Why? Because it's her friend's brother's, not hers. If the coworker decides to buy it or mom decides to buy it, I mean, do you see where there's, you want to have association, but a disconnect when it comes to the purchase and use of the machines. Does that make sense? Okay. Sampling strings, they really increase your sales potential. Okay? And here's the other thing. Again, please remember this. If this person decides to buy, look at the string. So you're in front of the friend. If brother decides to buy, brother tells friend, I'd like one of these machines. Friend says, I'm going to have to talk to my mom. Mom, my friend wants to buy one of these machines, or my brother. Okay, well, here. Then she has to talk to the coworker and finally gets back to you. Now you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people in between the purchase decision that they have to say, no, I don't want a commission. No, I don't want 2 commissions. No, I don't want 3 commissions. No, I don't want 4 commissions. Do you guys understand the way that works? By the time it gets here, you've got motivation, okay? Because that's 4 potential sales. Boom, 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 boom. The likelihood of a no here, very rare. Very rare, okay? I think the best I've ever seen, I think Danny did a 7-string order. Boom, 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 boom. In one day. And that's how those happen, by the way. Because when this person's ready, there's only one of 2 choices for these guys. Sink or swim. That's it. Because it's not like, oh, could you wait? No. So these people make a decision very quickly. They have to. Okay? So this is one of the powers of learning this process of sampling in a string. Okay? Anchoring through exposures. Here's another thing that's really important. You guys have to understand, the more a person is exposed to this, the more it becomes part of them. So if you're exposing people just little tiny bits of this, then it's only going to have little tiny impact. But if you expose this more and more and more to a person, it becomes more important to them. Okay? Exposures are the key component to anchoring. You have to do the exposures. Why? Because if you just keep on schlepping water, it's going to have effect, but if you can follow it up with other exposures, it makes everything else more, it amplifies and intensifies the actual effect. Okay? Sample water to somebody, it has a 10. Sample water and bring them to a live presentation, it has a 30. Sample them, live presentation, and an executive luncheon, you're up to a 50. Okay, do you understand the intensity, how all of a sudden these other things, because why? They're hearing more stories, they're seeing more things, they're learning the credibility, they're meeting more people, they're understanding this thing is not some wacko thing that their brother-in-law told them about. It's actually something big. So understand that it's those exposures, it will really, and again, anchoring a person to the project, not just the water. Getting people anchored to the water is great, okay? Those are product sales. I'm in this to build a team, okay? Because that's where the money is. So I look at it from the team building standpoint. Exposures expand understanding. When you have a better understanding and grasp of what this is, it's easier for you to make a decision that's a yes, okay? Understanding stimulates their interest, and interest leads to commitment. That's basically what it is. The more exposures, the stronger the connection. Again, just like I just said, presentation, executive luncheon, taking people to the corporate office. Do you know how impactful that is? Person shows up to the corporate office, and there is a line of people out the door waiting to get water. It looks like some kind of flop house or something. You're like, what is going on? But these people with empty jugs, there's like a still in the back, and there's an old miner. You know, but people are going, wait a second, there's something happening here. What is this? What is really going on? And it has a huge impact on people. I mean, I'm sure if you're not going there for a presentation or something, just take them there and sit there for 15 or 20 minutes. You'll probably see Bob Gridelli. Where's Bobby? I saw him around here someplace. You'll see Bob Gridelli. And you know what? For those of Bobby, can you stand up? No, Bobby, stand up. I'm sorry. I do that to him every time. I do it every time. Listen, if you guys don't know Bob Gridelli, let me tell you something. Hunt him down today and introduce yourself, okay? Bob Gridelli is one of the most successful people in this project. He really knows his stuff, but let me tell you. You want to talk about the nicest guy you'll ever meet? Yep. If Bobby is up at Enagic and you have somebody up there, this guy will go so far out of his way to make them feel at home and accommodated, it's not even funny. So when you have people like that at your disposal, take advantage of it. But you know what? If you don't take them up there, you sure the heck can't show it to them. You can't have that exposure be something that impacts them and helps them make a decision. Okay? So make sure that the more exposures, the stronger that connection. And again, all these things, the brochures, DVDs, trainings, the successful distributors, all of these things are exposures that bring a person in closer and closer and closer. Okay? Here's a summary on anchoring. Learn the sampling process. And again, in the book, read the section on sampling. Start learning the actual process, the 1, 2, 3 steps. Okay? And start implementing those. Limit the number of fingers that you service. Try to keep it to 10. Be realistic, okay? And again, unless you have 3 arms, then you can do 15. Okay? But if you only have 2, keep it to 10. All right? And those guys that can play the piano with their toes, no, it doesn't count. Keep them up here. Turn those fingers into strings, okay? It's the same amount of effort, but with so much more potential, okay? So really, learn the process and then activate it. And it's not very hard. Everybody goes, well, how do you do it? I'm giving somebody water for 1 or 2 times, and they tell me that they're noticing something, and the next time I come over, I say, oh, Steve, by the way, I brought you an extra 4 gallons. Okay, why? Well, don't you know anybody that might benefit from this? Look, one of the best, and this is what I tell people, one of the best things that you can have happen is someone that you know tries it and they get some type of benefit from it too. I'll tell them, you don't have no idea how impactful that is. Then all of a sudden Steve's like, okay, and that's it. I'm not going to tell Steve I'm going to bring him 4 gallons because Steve, I'm going to invade your privacy and make you use all of your contacts for me to share my water. Because that's what he hears. You don't want to ask him the question like that. Bring him over some water. I brought you some extras. Share them. Okay. If you brought somebody extra $100 bills and asked them to share them with their friends, you think they'd have a problem with it? Okay, cool. Here, have 100. Woohoo! Same thing, okay? The only difference is the water's worth a lot more than $100. Maximize your efforts for the greatest potential for you, okay? You want to maximize those efforts. You want to continue the anchoring through the exposures. Remember, the water, super strong. The exposures, it got you in your chair. Okay? Think about that. Was it just the water that was enough to really get you into this? Or did you have to see some presentations, go to some trainings? Go, for the most part, stop it. For the most part, it was a series of everything that got you to that motivation point that you're at today. So realize, well, why do you think these other people are going to be any different than you? Okay? Effective anchoring can create massive results. If you don't believe me, Bobby could try to stand up again. You can talk to Daniel. You can talk to Neil. You can talk to all these people who have had incredible success, and that's what they do. Okay? This is some stuff that I think once you understand, you're going to look at this project in an entirely different light. Okay? There is a thing called the diffusion of innovation. This is actually something that was put to light in the 1950s that showed the introduction of technology, new technology, into the marketplace and the process that it goes through from introduction to complete acceptance. If you understand this curve, anybody know the title of my book?
Right.
What does that look like?
Right.
There we go. This is what the book is really trying to tell you. You're part of something huge. Okay? Most of you have no clue what you're a part of. And it's not because you're clueless. It's because you've never been told this. This has never been explained to you. Okay? Most of the time, just so everybody knows, when you find a new technology product, you are here. Or here. And you're nothing but an end user. How many people in this room have a cell phone? By show of hands. How many people helped introduce cell phones? By show of hands. You see the difference? The people that have their hands up, like that lovely lady right there, she was probably an innovator or early adopter. She helped introduce something that became everybody. Just so you know, this is where we are today with this technology in this marketplace. You need to wrap your mind around the magnitude of this and understand this concept. One of the reasons is we're taking you to another level in success in this project, which means you're going to start talking to different people that you would have not have approached before. You're going to talk to a different level of person because you're going to have a better understanding and a deeper understanding of this type of power, the type of power that they will recognize when you bring it to their attention. Okay? That's extremely important. Knowing how this applies to our project, it's going to show your prospects of that higher echelon. It's going to show them something about that you know something about traditional business. This isn't about sharing the water anymore. This is about knowing your stuff. Okay? There are basically five different pieces to the introduction. You've got the innovator stage, which roughly takes up about 2.5% of the population that they are accepting this product. You've got the early adopter stage, 13.5. That makes up 16% of the marketplace. Then you have a huge spike, this one right here, whoosh, that goes to 34% in usually a very short period of time. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where fortunes are made. Okay? Again, let me remind you, we're here. Okay? We're here. Late majority happens later on. This usually is a 15 to 20 year cycle. It's usually what it takes, with the majority of the time being here, usually almost half of it. This usually happens in a course of about 3 years. Yeah, Microsoft goes from obscurity to, like, huge. It's because of that, all right? We're going to talk about this as a concept and understanding it. You've got the spread of innovation. This is how innovation actually happens. It's basically talking about technology, okay? First, you've got the innovation itself. Is it something people need?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the question. Is the innovation something people need? The answer in our project? Yes! Right? It goes through a communication channel. In some cases, that means a radio ad, a television advertisement, or word of mouth. Does anybody know the most effective form of marketing in the United States of America? Word of mouth. Communication channels, exactly. Anybody ever, go to a movie because somebody else told you it was good? That's word of mouth advertising. Wouldn't it be nice if the movie guys would pay you for it? Well, Enagic does. That's the best part. So it goes through communication channels. This is subjective perception. That's people are doing an individual evaluation, and then they're telling other people about it. Then you've got time, the process that it must go through. There has to be a certain amount of time that it goes through as it's being introduced to the marketplace. It usually does not happen overnight. Did cell phones happen overnight? No. If they did, we'd all be having those big old cases on our hips. With the little... Hello? Okay. No, it didn't happen overnight. It happened over time. We just weren't there to participate in it, so we don't realize how long it was. Okay? And then social systems. This is the impact of society. When it has an impact on society, things like movie stars start buying them. There's television reports on the news about this incredible water doing all these incredible things. Anybody see the KTLA report that was on like a year ago? Yeah. That's what happens. It starts getting out there more and more because of the social systems. This and this end up being connected. The word of mouth, especially because that's what we have, it's word of mouth, it impacts the social system. You have to understand, folks, you are a very important part of the spread of this particular innovation. Okay? As a matter of fact, you are the spread. You are what's making it happen. Okay? Here's the types of innovation decisions. Okay? This is the people that decide about using new technology. Okay? And you know what? Honestly, some of this stuff is boring. I'm going to tell you that right now. But it's extremely important. Okay? You've got optional innovation decision. That means an individual, an actual person is making a decision whether or not they want to utilize it. You've got a collective innovation decision. That means a group of people, as a collective group, are deciding if they want to use it. And then you've got an authority innovation decision. That means influential people. You know, your politicians, your movie stars, your wealthy, those type of people. Because anybody ever heard the term trendsetter? That's what they are. That's why everybody gives them free products. They just want somebody to be seen with their Nokia or with driving their Mercedes. They give them the... Have you guys ever gone to like a Hollywood thing that they have the bags? Man, there's like $20,000 worth of stuff in there that they're giving away for free. Why? They're hoping the Inquirer snaps that picture with their phone in that person's hand. Do you know how many Enagic machines have been given to celebrities? None! None. Did you guys see the Us magazine thing with Steven Tyler? You guys know Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, lead singer? Now he's on American Idol. Hello, a little bit of attention there. He had a top 25 things you probably don't know about me in Us magazine that just came out. Number 20, for some reason, my Kangen water tastes better in a wine glass. I'm not kidding you. That's what it says. That's what it says. Now, if you don't run out after this and go online and put in Us Magazine and put in Steven Tyler and find it and copy it and then send it to your friends, you're missing the boat. It's a free advertisement from somebody who's recognizable. You want to know what's good when these guys start using our products? It's because normal people figure, well, you know what? These guys have a lot at stake. And when you use something, you indirectly endorse it. So you better check it out first to make sure that you're not setting yourself up. Because I can pretty much guarantee you Steven Tyler doesn't buy any Amway products. I'm pretty sure he doesn't. I'm pretty sure he doesn't. And because he might not be allowed to. It's another thing. Okay? So you have this right here can be really impactful when it comes to influencing other people. All right? Different prospects are going to yield different results. Obviously, if you can be the Todd, that's not this Todd, unfortunately, that got Steven Tyler and George Lopez and Carlos Santana and all these other guys to buy machines, trust me, that guy's results much different than if you don't have those type of connections. Okay, so all those people I just mentioned do have machines, and they did pay for them, by the way. Okay, so realize when you're doing it, each one of these, there's difference. And you know what? If they're not ready yet, it's okay. Okay, that's another thing you have to understand. There's 5 stages in this process of the diffusion of innovation. First, you've got knowledge. It's the first exposure. A person's learning about it. Okay, then you've got the persuasion. That's an interest by the person. They're seeking information. Okay, in our case, we have a very strong additive to that, which is the water itself. We can let them try it and see what it does for them. which is one of the best, it's one of the best things to persuade a person to try and then end up purchasing the product. Then they've got the decision-making process, which is to either reject or accept it. Now, I want everybody to understand something. We're in the early innovator stage when it comes to actual numbers, okay, which means less than 2.5% of the United States population owns one of these machines or this type of technology. What that actually means is that in the stage that we're in right now, if you went out and sold a machine, you should have personally had to sample about 50 people to sell one machine. I want you to think about that. If you've sold two machines, means you personally should have sampled 100 individual people yourself. The question becomes, did you? No. So what does that mean? That for some reason, the percentages in this one, they don't apply. Which means, let me tell you why. It's a proven technology from another country. This is a new marketplace. It's not a new product. The product's proven. It's a matter of being able to have enough of us to let the masses know what the heck's going on. That's the only reason this thing isn't exploding the way that it should. If this room was filled with 10,000 people right now, it'd be a different story. But it's not. We're still growing. And as it does grow to those type of numbers, and it will, that's when everybody's going to know about these, and those percentages will start to go up more. But in the meantime, we're in the early adopter stage, but we're in like late majority numbers, which is crazy. The book talks about that a little bit more in detail, what it really means to you, okay? That's like, that's like buying lottery tickets for a penny instead of a dollar and having all win. Yeah, it's crazy. Implementation. They're trying the technology. Now, this is what's funny with ours. Implementation actually comes up in persuasion because of the fact that we can sample the byproduct. This is them actually trying. That's them buying a machine. Okay? But we can have them try the water and get the same type of results here. That's another reason that this is accelerated. So understanding this concept, what's funny is it applies to us, but some of it doesn't apply to us. Which is good, because it means if we're outside of the normal process, it means all of our stuff is going to be accelerated, which obviously that's good. Confirmation is the final decision stage. Am I going to stick with this technology? In all seriousness, anybody who owns a machine, it blows up when you get home. Are you going to replace it?
Yes.
Now, I want seriously, because you guys don't have to sell me. You don't have to tell me yes because you think it's what I want to hear. If your machine just completely, would you seriously replace it?
Yes.
So would I. So that means it's a winner. Okay? It's also a game changer for this marketplace because it's like, it's going against all the things that are normal in this, which is good. Because when you start drawing these to the attention of somebody who understands what this stuff means, they are going to see dollar signs in their eyes. And they're going to go, how come I didn't know about this? I don't know, because it developed halfway around the world, man. You don't know about everything. Now remember, each person will be different, and it's okay. And by different, I mean they might not be ready. When you get here to reject or accept, if they reject it, let them go. It's okay. They'll be back. They will. Okay? Unless they start drinking, I don't know, liquid nitrogen or something instead of water, and that's how they're living, they'll be back. It just might not be time for them yet. Okay? The process of this project. Again, the product's already proven in the Japanese marketplace. That gives us a huge, huge step up because we don't have to... A lot of times, new companies are a crapshoot on whether or not the technology is even going to work. Where's Denny? Right? And it can be tough. It can be tough. Usual time frames are highly accelerated in this project. Okay, that's great for us. You have to understand what that means for us. This thing's accelerated. That means more money is going to wind up in your pocket much quicker. Okay? The implementation percentages are actually, they're unheard of. What's happening right now with, okay, I do a little like story in the book of a lady that I talked to, that I was talking to her, and she was disappointed in her success so far. I think she'd been in the project like a couple months. And she said, you know, Jerry, I haven't done very well. And I said, well, why do you say that? And she goes, I've only sold 3 machines. And I was like, okay, wait a second. You've sold like 3 machines? And she said, yeah. I said, how long have you been in the project? And it was like a month and a half. And I go, so you sold 3 machines in like a month and a half. I said, how many people have you sampled? She goes, 5. And I'm thinking to myself, lady, you don't have any idea what's going on. I'm going, okay, if you sampled 5 people and 3 bought, that's a 60% sell-through. In any sales, that's unheard of. But for a new technology product, that's insane. The guys at Harvard with their little number crunching and stuff, they'd go ballistic with something like that, okay? So you have to be able to wrap your mind around what's actually happening and compared to what should be happening, okay? Because they're very different things. So realize that as the products are getting out there, they're getting out there in such an accelerated rate. And again, that acceleration is great for us. It means more money in a much faster period of time. We need more distributors to catch the percentages. You understand what I mean? So when you're out there talking to people, yeah, it's great to share the water, but look for some business people. We need to catch the dang percentages. Because let me tell you, if we can actually catch up with the percentages with bodies, oh my God. Everybody's impressed with these 6-figure monthly incomes. Let me tell you, impressive is a 7-figure monthly income. And this project holds it. I promise you that. And there's people in the room that know it. They know it because they've seen it before. Okay? Right? So again, have you had at least 1 in 50 try the water? And if you have, you're doing fine. That's why when people get all frustrated in this, it just racks my brain. I just want to go, you don't get it. It's okay. You don't understand. The fact that you have anybody that's willing to listen to you is amazing. It really is. At this stage of the game, not you, anybody. The fact that they listened to me was amazing. But the fact that they actually bought, and then they actually shared the information and other people bought, that's crazy. So if you think about the numbers, 1 in 50, have they tried the water? You need to be part of it, or you're going to watch it happen. And what I mean by that is, ride the wave. Anybody ever surf? Anybody here ever surf, by show of hands? Okay. Anybody ever go down to the pier and watch the surfers? Okay. A lot more of you than the surfers themselves. Let me tell you something about surfing. When you're out on the water, you're sitting there, and you know what you're doing? You're looking for certain signs. You're not looking for the wave because the wave ain't there yet. But the signs that it's coming, you learn how to read. You learn how to read a small swell. You learn how to read the swell that's coming behind it and know that thing's going to chew me up. I got to get out further so I miss it. Then you have to paddle. See, you don't wait for a wave to come to you because it's either going to break too soon or break too late. And either way, you don't get to ride. You have to learn how to identify and then paddle to be in the right position. Well, guess what, guys? Jump on your boards because it's right here, it's right now, and you're going to be able to take a ride of your life. I mean, for real. Anybody see that report about that 5-mile-long ride that the surfers had?
Yeah.
Incredible stuff. It's this anomaly on a river that just this wave comes through, and they catch it, and it goes for 5 miles. These guys get tired. It's like rolls for like an hour and a half. And they're just for an hour and a half. It's crazy. Imagine that. Imagine being able to harness this power, what's available to us, okay? So you need to be part of it or you're going to watch it happen, okay? And there's nothing worse than watching a bunch of people around you make money that you know you're smarter than them, you're more talented, and they're the ones making the dough. And you're going, what? So be part of it. Jump in the water, get on your board, paddle out there, learn to find the signs, and do it, okay? Here's a summary of the diffusion of innovation. You need to recognize where we are in the process and what that really means as far as it applies to the overall marketplace. The magnitude, okay? In earthquake terms, this is a 10.1, okay? This is a big one. This is the big one, okay? You want to share this with distributor prospects, okay? Because it's important. Distributor prospects. Start looking for business people. There's a lot of them out there right now with real open doors, okay? Because of the way the economy is. Get excited about it. See, I think one reason a lot of people don't get excited, because again, they don't know. They don't know about it. Once you know about it, it's real easy to get excited, because you can go, this thing could not only change my life, this could change the life for my kids, for my grandkids, for my great-grandkids, for offspring that have never even been thought of yet. This thing can, it could take care of it. It's that big. Understand that not everybody's going to be ready. And it's okay. Remember those percentages, 2.5, 13.5, 34, 34, 16. It's cool. You know, when you're talking to somebody, you might go, you're a second 13. You're a late, or a second 34. You're a late majority. You don't have to say that to them, because they might smack you and go, what? I'm not a late majority. What are you talking about? Because, well, they probably won't even know what that means. But you can recognize. And guess what, guys? If you're here today, you own a machine, you're an innovator. And you didn't even know it. How cool is that? Embrace it. Embrace it. Really take it to heart and say, I'm a part of something huge, and this might be the only opportunity, in all seriousness, to be part of something this big. Okay? All right. Team building basics. Here's some basics on team building. I'm going to go through this pretty quick. So I want to make sure I mind the time, because the food's going to be here shortly. And then we got to get our party on, right? Okay, that's right. All right, let me just pop these up here faster. Okay, here we go. First off, in building basics, the first thing you need to understand, this is not an MLM or network marketing program. Okay? If you think it is, you need to stop yourself, take out your dry erase racer, take that out of your brain, and realize what we are in is a direct sales program. Okay? We're not this. We're not this. We have some aspects that allow us to earn money similar, but our project is direct sales, period, okay? You want to directly refer as many distributors as possible. You, your name on the application with the person who bought the machine, okay? You want to provide support. You want to look for stars in your 8 points. Why? Because you want to go help them become brighter. Because if they're within your 8, everything they do makes you money. Counts for your qualifications. Counts for those bonuses. Anybody see what that December bonus is going to be? There's some folks getting $25,000 checks. And that volume could have come from somebody else. Okay? Where's Bobby?
Oh, no.
What'd you qualify for?
Which one? The new one?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah. What? Which one? Okay, for the global pool.
What about it?
They posted the amounts.
Oh, they did? I don't even know.
Okay, I think Bobby's probably one of the ones that's going to get at least a 25. Yeah. So, a little something for you to look forward to there, Robert Gridelli. Go wide, teach the same, and this is something important, you guys. Go wide. That means sign as many people to you. You with the direct sponsor. And teach it. Teach to go wide, and the depth will happen. Watch out for placement, okay? Mr. O'Shea recommends going wide. Here's what going wide actually means. Personally referred sales and distributors. Personally referred, okay? With creates constant activity and growth. With also creates more distributor channels and lanes, which means more opportunities for you to continuously make money. Here's the way to do it when you're building the with. Create, support, and then manage it. Okay? You have to, this one right here is the creating. You've got to do that, and you've got to support it. Once you've done that, come back and check on it every now and again. Okay? But this is where you need your, this is why you don't also want any more than 10 strings or 10 fingers. Because if you have it and there's like 5 people that are succeeding, you're not going to have enough time to help all of them. So don't spread yourself too thin. Rebuild every 3 to 6 months. This is the toughest thing to do because you have to forget your own success. In your own mind, you have to become a 1A again every 3 to 6 months. That's tough. When you got 20 grand a month in checks coming in, that's really tough. To pretend that you're broke, I'm serious. It's tough. Because you know how much easier it is not to? It's very easy. So you have to apply yourself and in your own mind, rebuild your group every 3 to 6 months. And what I mean by that is, again, you, from your own vantage point, you're telling yourself, I'm a 1A again and I want to become a 6A. And I'm going to do, you know why? Because it reinvigorates you. It makes you remember, what did I do when I first started? What did I do when I was first a 1A? I need to replicate that because I'm starting to get comfortable in my success. And that can be a downfall. Guilty. With leads to greater earning potential. Okay? Now going deep. These are team-referred sales and distributors. This is your depth. This is as your team is growing. You're 8 points, okay? Bless you! With gusto! I like that! Hey, if you're going to do something, do it right, okay? Remember, only within your 8 points directly counts for you. So you need to pay attention to those 8 points. If you don't know what I mean, you need to talk to the person who brought you the project. Because they need to explain that to you. That's some of the basics of this business, okay? You want to teach to build wide and create longer lasting depth. Because when everybody's learning the same thing, it starts to build deep. You have to understand that, okay? It's the teaching principles. What you teach, they will do. So if you teach, when you get a person, you put them to them. You put them to you, not to somebody else. Okay, I'll cover that in a second too. Depth creates the overrides and the bonuses. Okay? And that's, they're getting crazy now. You got to remember, as an adject succeeds more, there's more money for them to actually play with, and they can throw it back to the distributors to give us incentive to work even harder. And that's exactly what they're doing. Did you guys know this global pool is open to everybody? Including 1As? If you didn't know that, if you're a 1A and you made 2 sales personally in December, you're going to get a check. It's like, did I drop a pin? Do you guys understand? Everybody can participate in this. That's huge. Before it was just you had to be a 6A. It was like a million miles away to somebody who's brand new. Now, this is like right here. 2 sales? And with this 3A thing, we had people making 2 sales left and right. And none of them even realized they were qualifying for this thing. They're going to get this extra check in the mail. They're going to share $100,000, guys. Whoever qualified is going to get a piece of 100 grand. So if there was 100 of them, they're all going to get a check for $1,000. And they probably don't even know what's coming. Okay, that's why it's important to know what's happening here, okay? Multiple lanes going deep creates lots of overrides. And it does. You want to monitor your depth and look for the stars. That's people that are producing. All of a sudden you have a lot of volume coming from here. What do you want to do? Focus those attentions to that volume. Help them become even more successful. It's going to build your business even more. Depth leads to happy trips to the mailbox. You know what a happy trip to the mailbox is? When there's more checks than bills, that's a happy trip. Okay, so understand the benefits of going wide and deep and build to do both. Okay? The old pigskin takes on a whole new meaning when you do this right. Okay? Here's the perils of placement. I want to talk about placement for a second because I think this is a trap people fall into too often. All right? When you place people, you're giving away your money, first and foremost. Okay? And if that's what you want to do, invite me to your house. Okay? Because if all you want to do is give away your money, I would be more than happy to take some off your hands. Okay? So when you're placing, it's just giving people money. Okay? It's rewarding for basically doing nothing. When you place people, and let me tell you what I mean by place. Okay? Let's say that Steve is my prospect. Okay? And I've been sampling Steve some water. Steve's getting excited about this. He's going, this is fantastic. And then I say, hey, you know what? Joanna is a rep I've had, and she hasn't really been doing anything. I'm going to motivate her. So when Steve decides to sign up, I call up Joanna and I say, Joanna, guess what? I'm going to give you Steve. And when I pop the application in, I put Joanna's name on his app. Now let me ask you something in all seriousness. Do you think I've done Joanna a favor?
No.
She's going to think it. And she's going to think, I just got a free check and I didn't do anything. I'll do less. That's what happens, okay? It doesn't help either person. Because now Joanna's in between Steve and I. And since she's getting paid, I'm going to expect her to do a little bit. Well, then I find out they don't like each other. Great. So now I have to help Steve anyway, and Joanna took my money. But she didn't take it. I gave it to her. Okay? That's where placement is not good. You're also cutting off your referral support when you do placement. Let me tell you what that means. You got to be real cautious about this. You start going too deep. I've got a guy in Louisiana that was trying to help people. He's an old network marketer. And old habits die hard. He's doing a placement, doing a placement, doing a placement. Jerry, can you help me with this guy? I said, who the hell's this guy? You should have got a check. I didn't. I look it up. He put him past my eight. Didn't even realize it. Because he got 4 points, and this guy got 2 points, and this guy got 1 point, and he popped this guy down here, and it was enough. And all of a sudden, the guy he's expecting to help from isn't getting paid. Isn't in the equation anymore. Now, it's not to say that I'm not going to help him, but my motivation becomes a lot less, and I'm going to expect a lot more from him directly. It's like, well, heck, if you want to cut me off, that means you don't need me anymore. So be very careful in doing that. Remember, those people up, they're helping you because they like you. They're helping you because they want your business to succeed, and they're helping you because you're making them money. As soon as you take that third one out, the other two lose a lot of their power, okay? And that's just the reality, all right? So be careful of cutting off your referral support. And you're teaching a very bad habit. You really are. When you're doing it, because if you do it, they're going to do it. And if they do it, their people are going to wind up doing it. And it really creates a very bad habit. And I know it's not a PC term, and I apologize, but you're creating cripples. You're not empowering somebody, you're crippling them. You're not helping them, you're giving them a false sense of this is how this thing should work. And you don't want to do that, okay? Anybody ever heard this one? Yeah. You know, I think if it was good for JC, it should be good for us.
Yeah.
Okay? Give a man a fish or teach a man to fish. I would much rather teach you to fish, Joanna, than give you a fish and satisfy you for a day and then you're done. And tomorrow you're got no hope, or I'm going to teach you, and she can feed herself for the rest of her life. Big difference, okay? When you're working with a referrer or a mentor, these are some very important points that you want to make sure. And again, a lot of the stuff you already know, it just sometimes takes somebody to remind you that you know it. When you're working with a referrer or a mentor, you want to look for experience, look for proven success, okay? Look for results, and results are things like distributor ranking, organizational growth, verifiable earnings. Be careful of people that are playing today's game with last year's home runs, okay? Because you need to make sure that the people that are playing the game today are actually showing up to the field, okay? And that they're actually in the game. Because there's some people that, unfortunately, they use their previous successes to try to influence today's game. And unfortunately, you can't at the end of the day. When the scoreboard's up there, the score is what it is. Am I talking way too, like,
no,
you guys understand what I mean? Okay.
Say it again.
Okay. There will be people that may have been successful in another project at the beginning of this project. And they're going to parlay that success as an ongoing reason to listen to them. The only reason you should have an ongoing reason to listen to somebody is because they have an ongoing reason for your attention. Not because of something they did. It's because of something they do. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. It's going to cut down your learning curve too when you're working with a mentor. Okay? They can help accelerate your success. And obviously that's what we all want. We want to get up to speed as quickly as possible. Okay?
Yeah.
You guys know this sponsor, right?
Yeah.
Okay, if you notice, even the dogs got the glasses on because they're all blind. Be really careful of this. This is the blind leading the blind, okay? You want to watch out for the experienced, inexperienced, or the wannabe leaders. These are people that are going to come to you and be like, you know what, I went 4A really fast. Well, that's nice. I'm happy for you. How'd you do it? I got this guy, and he sold a bunch of machines. So he made you 4A really fast. You've got to be careful, because there are some people that love the attention. They want to be leaders. Those are the wannabes, okay? You really want to watch out for it. There's a section in the book on this that I hope you actually look into. Look out for the mediocre, the broke, or the invisible 6As, okay? Now, again, these are the people that are supposed to represent the upper echelon to this project, but you got to be careful, because the title 6A does not necessarily mean all that much. There's much more to it behind the title that you should be looking at, okay? Especially if you're going to be listening to people for your possible success, all right? Where these type of people are going to lead you, you don't want to go. Trust me, you don't want to find out what's at the bottom of that hill or cliff, okay? So be very mindful of that, all right? And make sure you're following the right type of people. You want to build yourself and then your team, okay? Learn to master the basics as quickly as possible, all right? Work with, not depend on, your referrer or a mentor. And here's the reason. When you start depending on somebody, your success will now be at their pace, not yours. You want to be independent as quickly as possible, because that's going to allow you to take off and then have your success be based on your success, not on their availability of time to help your success. Does that make sense? You don't sound very convincing. Does it make sense? Okay. Build leaders for your team by becoming a leader. Again, this is all about processes and teaching. And what you do is what you teach. So if you are providing support, setting a good example, communicating with your people, you're setting that example for them. You are teaching them what they should be doing once they become what you are. And that's why it's so important for you to do that. It's the old walk your walk and talk your talk thing. That's why it's very important. Pave the road for your team. Make sure that you are... Okay, Alfonso, if we went up to Enagic right now to process a new order for you, and I went up there with you, and it's really busy, I have a person I can walk up to and go, psst, hey, and we get done. Okay? You know why? Because I go up there and I talk to them, and we do. I learned stuff from my friend Daniel where you go up there and you bring them like some sandwiches or something, boxes of chocolates. Make the people who work there that help you out happy to see you. And then they're happy to see you. And they're happy to help you. Okay? That's paving the road. And then I introduce Alfonso to the staff, to, Hiroko and to Leah and to, to Tomo. And then the next time he goes there, I've already bridged that gap. And now Alfonso is there, and they're treating Alfonso with a different level of respect because of the fact that I made sure I introduced him, and they now know who he is. That's what paving the road means, okay? Set a road for your distributors so that when they walk into a room, it's important to the other people in the room, okay? Remember, big success is contingent on team success. The future of the project. Ooh, I love that graphic. I'm like, okay. We're going to look into the future real quick. The perfect storm of opportunity. Anybody see the movie The Perfect Storm?
Yes.
You guys knew, for those of you who might not have, it was the actual like story behind a boat called the Andrea Gale. And it was a fishing vessel, a sword fishing vessel, that went out to do their run, and then there was three storm fronts that came together all at the same time. Right on top of them. And it killed the entire crew. Lost the ship, never found them, nothing. They made this movie, and it was Mark Wahlberg and George Clooney. I'm like, George Clooney? And they told the story of this ship and what had happened. And what they had talked about is that For the first time in recorded history, three mega storms that by themselves, they were big. But once they all combined, they were crazy. You're talking like, they were saying like 300-foot waves. And this was a small, this wasn't like the Love Boat, man. This thing was just like a little fishing boat, okay? So what we have right now is, in my opinion, the perfect storm of opportunity. Because we have all these individual pieces that by themselves don't have this huge magnitude. But when you put them all together, they create this perfect storm, okay? And we probably won't see this again in our lifetimes. We probably won't. We might if we live, well, some of you, until like 70s or 80s or 90s, we might see something that has to do environmentally, as far as a business is concerned, with this level of impact. But most likely, we won't. It'll probably be another 50 years before we see something of this magnitude hit the marketplace again. So here's all these factors that are converging all at once. A proven product, the marketplace need, the growing health issues, dissatisfaction with the medical care industry, environmental impact, the lifestyle consequences, and economic instability. All of those things are happening right now, okay? Proven product. Whoops, there we go. We've got an established technology from a company with a 36-year history. How many people in here are over 36 years old? Okay, so all the people with your hands down, this was around before you were. Okay? That's proven. Okay? That's a company that's solid. It's our product. It's the best performer in the industry. It's got the best quality components. And it's experienced the benefits without the cost because of our sampling. Okay? So we've got this proven product that's going into a marketplace. Then you've got the marketplace need. The baby boomers. You know what? It's a 50, 60, 70-year-old people right now. They still control all the money. They still control the majority of the dough. Okay? And that's going to probably continue for about the next 15 years. And then there'll be a shift. And I hate to say it, it's because a lot of them will be deceased. That's the money is going to change hands. But it hasn't yet. So you've got the marketplace need being controlled by this main group. They are seeking extension of life. But more importantly, they are seeking quality of life. The promise of the golden years, they're tin. They're rusted tin. They're not golden, folks. And they understand that. Have you guys seen the pill trays they give these people now? It looks like a Plinko board or something. It's crazy, man. It's like, and that's what they're supposed to do now for the rest of their life? When anybody was young, did anybody tell you, you know what, if you eat right and do the right thing, when you grow up, you can be medicated? No. And nobody wants to live like that. Can you imagine having to have your life revolve around what you have to do 4 or 5 times a day? That you have to do it no matter what you're doing? Oh, I got to take my 6 o'clock pill. Oh, I got to take my 11 o'clock pill. No, that's not living. It's not. And people want quality of life. And health is the new number one priority. Why? Because they're all losing it. That's the reason. The growing health issues. Health concerns keep growing across the board. This is where it becomes very interesting. It's not just the baby boomers. Did you guys see that thing for Touched by an Angel, the actor from that? Like, what was he, 42? 47? 47 years old, dead of a heart attack. The male actor from the show Touched by an Angel. You know where it's really weird to see it, folks? We're seeing Hollywood with a mortality rate that is unheard of. Okay? Farrah Fawcett, Patrick Swayze. We're seeing all these people that they should be around. Tina Marie, very young. Why do we think they should be around? Because they have the resources to keep them alive, and yet they're not living? That scares the heck out of everybody. It really makes them think about their own mortality because they're like, if they can't stay alive, how in the world am I supposed to? Okay? You got to realize that's something that's to your advantage. People hear about this stuff. It's on the front page of Yahoo. You know, and that gets visited by millions of people. So people are seeing this information. There's social and economic issues that are connected with the health problems. Okay? Why do you think we're having this big debate in Washington over this whole healthcare reform thing? That's a huge thing. It's changing for all ages. Children now are having adult issues at 10 years old. They're having issues that a 70-year-old person should be having. Okay? So it's spreading across the board, the importance of the growing health issues. And it's becoming a greater global issue. There was a statistic that said that the WHO, the World Health Organization, was talking about cancer becoming the number one killer globally within the next couple of years. Now, let me tell you something. I read on, and it said that what they're trying to attribute it to is smoking. Now, here's the interesting thing. It's because of China and India that the numbers are increasing so greatly. Now, I got some news for everybody. Smoking in China and India has been around for a long time, but McDonald's hasn't been. Okay? The American lifestyle is now trickling into these areas, and all of a sudden there's a huge spike in issues like cancer. So it's connect the dots. Come on, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to be able to figure this out. Let's be realistic. So it's becoming, these health issues are becoming more and more big. The dissatisfaction with the medical industry. This is another big one, okay? Is that it? Yep. Okay, health insurance is actually sick insurance, okay? The magic pill theory, it's being proven false because there is no such thing. Now people are given a pill to take care of their pill to take care of their pill. Okay? And if you watch any daytime television, the new pill ads are immediately followed by the attorney ads suing for the old pill ads. That's what they are. And if you read some of these things, man, there was some stuff I was like, what? You know, they're like, did you take Demoxifen? Are you experiencing, you know, a twitch in your leg, or you know, your shoulder won't go crazy, or you had your colon removed? I'm going, whoa, what was that thing for? It was for acne. Wow, man. That must have been some heck of a pimple, I'll tell you, man. Wow. When you look at medicine as an industry, as soon as it's an industry and not a calling, you need patients, you need customers, you need repeat business. You need people to be just healthy enough to go to work to pay their copay. Okay? They need sick people, not healthy people. Pharmaceutical industry is dating the medical industry. Okay? They are. Let's be real. They are. It's igniting a natural approach revolution. And we're right in the mix of it. So we have to be prepared to be able to take those fishing nets and toss them out there, because those people are just, they're looking for an answer. They're looking for one because they're totally dissatisfied with what they're getting. Okay? So it's a great opportunity for us. Another factor is the environmental impact. And this one is going to be very big, I think, the next decade. Okay? It's becoming more and more important. More aspects of being eco-friendly are now being considered as far as the chemical. You guys hearing all the stuff about what's in the water? Like what's in regular water? I heard a report that they were talking about they're finding elevated levels of caffeine in fish tissue. Yeah, because caffeine, when it's expelled, it doesn't get taken out of any of the filtration stuff that's there. So it's being put right back into the main waters. I mean, it's... Which is great, but when it's actually in the tissue of something that we eat, I mean, it's like 5-hour energy is going to be replaced by trout. It's not good, man. It's like, come on. And purple, hey, you guys, you know this too. Purple's the new green, you know? And we need to wear it proudly. We do. We need to wear it proudly. And we are leading this industry. You've got the lifestyle consequences, which these are pretty interesting too. We are running ourselves literally into the ground, about 6 feet deep. Let that sink in for a second and then go down. Box it a 6 foot. Okay. Everybody's doing this fast lifestyle, and fast is doing what? It's getting us to our grave quicker. Okay? So we want everybody to slow down a little bit, enjoy life, and be able to really make the most of life. Okay. The lifestyle today is much different from 1961. It's a 50-year difference, but the difference is huge. We have all the processed foods, the preservatives, the genetically engineered junk. You need to educate yourself to stuff too, guys. If you don't know about this stuff, you need to educate yourself. Because there's so much stuff going on out there that if you don't find out about it now and do something, man, 10 years from now, it's going to be too late. I'm serious. We need to really become much more active and participate in our own benefit. Okay, because I'm learning so much. I've been watching so many documentaries. We got that Netflix thing on demand with the Wii, and they have so many on-demand stuff. I've watched like 10 different movies about water and all this genetically engineered, you know, the seeds and stuff. I'm going, all this stuff has been happening like under my nose? Yeah. Yes. Ugh. The fast food, the soda. Here's the thing, the soda now and then. I want you guys to think about this. In the 1960s, soda was not a staple of a diet. It was a Sunday, like treat, exactly. It was something that was like a nicety, and it was much different on the ingredients as well. Okay, it was more natural. Today, it's all chemicals. And it's like, that's all these kids are drinking. They sell soda cheaper than they do water. Now, let me ask you something. If it's got all these chemicals that are kind of like, that can create like almost an addiction, wouldn't it make sense to sell them? You know, hey, you know, that was an old thing for the old drug dealers, you know? It's like, hey, the first one's on me. Right. You'll be back. That's what they're doing. You guys ever gone to one of those big sponsored, like, sporting events? Sponsored by Monster or Red Bull? They have the girls out there, hot little chickies with their, here, have a Monster, have a Red Bull, have a Monster. And they're giving them away for free. Well, why would they do that? Because they're hoping to make you addicted. And then they're hoping to have you be a customer for life. That's what they're looking for. We ingest more of less today than we used to. What that means is we're eating more empty nothing than we ever have before. And it's killing us because it won't go away. It's not processing through. It's being held because it's like nothing. It's nothing when it's good for us, okay? Again, that was a 2008 report. They said that the cancer was going to be the number one killer by 2010. I'm not sure if it actually is now or not. But I know it's darn close. I know it is darn close. I use this. If you want to steal it, please feel free. Accelerated degeneration. 35 years now, 10 or less. Which means what a person would normally have taken 35 years to develop in their body is now taking 10 or less. That's why our children are seeing a 70-year-old result when they're 10 years old. It's accelerated degeneration. All this stuff that they're doing bad to themselves is just hitting them so much harder. And the economic instability. This is one of my favorites, actually. Because this one spells money. Okay, so really pay attention to this one. You've got a lot of people right now with open doors. What that means is they are unsure what's going to happen with them financially. They're looking for that second type of income, or maybe to replace what they've been doing. Maybe their industry is getting phased out, and they're scrambling to be able to make a living because they don't know what they're going to do. This could be the best thing for a person, but a lot of people now, their doors are open where they usually wouldn't be. You have these corporate people where they have these great salaries and they got their nice car and everything. Their windows and doors are shut because they're happy with where they are. But for the people who that uncertainty is opening those doors and windows, that's your opportunity to let them know. Say, hey, we've got something big here. We have something that you can replace that six-figure income. Heck, you might even be able to increase that six-figure income. Okay? This lack of faith in corporate America, hello? Anybody watch the news recently? They want to like go to Wall Street and lynch people. That's what they want to do. Hey, great. Let's take advantage of that. Because it's something that, honestly, it's good for us. That not having that faith there, it means people are willing to think and look in a different direction. Okay? We know this. The health industry, it's one of the biggest. And we're actually a part of it. Spending habits are going to change. I'd hate to be an interior decorator right now. Because my business would go out of business. It's tough. It would be really tough right now. Okay? However, with our product, we have people making money hand over fist. Why? So everybody wants to feel better, and everybody feels like crap. That's one of the main reasons, okay? Bottom line, people will, they'll pay for good health, and we know it, folks, right? So the future for distributors. I talk about this, and some people don't think I should. I think I should, though, because I want it to be realistic for people. You have to understand, there is a timeline here. There's time, probably 10 to 15 years, for us to really take advantage of this, okay? But the clock's ticking. Right now, we are actually in the concept and product branding. We're not trying to brand Enagic. We're trying to brand the concept of drinking alkaline water. We're so early on, you can't do a product branding until you do a concept branding. Okay? Before they branded, you know, Nokia, they had to brand the concept of using a cellular phone. Does that make sense to everybody? You understand what I mean? You have to understand the concept. That's what we're doing. We're spreading the concept so then Enagic can become the number one product of that concept. That's what we're doing. And we're doing it simultaneously. The explosive growth is probably going to be in the next 5 to 7 years. That's when we're going to see just like crazy, crazy explosions. All right? This too, think globally. I want you guys to really think about this. 310 million people or almost 7 billion? Which marketplace would you rather go after? Okay. So listen for accents. When you're talking to people, you listen around you, man. If you hear something that seems foreign to you, gravitate to it. Hi, what's your name? Because if they have an accent, they most likely have family in another country, and it's gonna spread. So get yourself set, okay? This one, commercials show upcoming trends. For the next couple of days, I want you to do something very unique. When you're watching TV and a commercial comes on, don't hit mute. Don't change the channel. Actually watch what these people are spending a lot of money to put in front of your face. You will see where trends are happening. You've got to remember, they spend a lot of money on commercials. Airtime, production, all that type of stuff. There's a lot of dough spent on that. They do a lot of market research. There's a new product I saw. I was sitting there watching. I see this product and it says Refresh. I catch the pH. Some of the ladies might know what this is. Any of the gentlemen know what it is? Yeah. It's a pH balanced feminine product. When you start seeing stuff like this, it tells you where the market is going. How many water commercials do you guys see on TV now? Tons. Tons. Pure Flow. This, that, all the, do this. All, and we're talking prime time. That's the most expensive, guys. When you start seeing this on TV, it tells you the direction the market is headed in. You need to pay attention to that because if I saw this pH balance thing, so did other people. And the idea of pH and the importance of pH is becoming more mainstream, which means more people know about it. It makes my job easier when I'm talking to them about elevated pH in my water. Okay? So you want to pay attention to this stuff. I'm stealing millions of dollars by doing that. You guys understand that? I'm using their money to help educate me and my people. Why not? Well, I don't want to spend my money for it. Come on. It's creating a paradigm shift. The health and the environment coming together at the time that it is, it's creating a paradigm shift that's changing the entire country. So here's the summary on the future of this project. We probably won't see this again. So take advantage of it while it's here. Perfect storm is here, but we have a 10 to 15 year window of opportunity, okay? The next 5 to 7 is probably the real big one, though. Okay, and as that window closes, the opportunity becomes less. You realize that. We've got it wide open right now. Globally expanding, think big. Again, listen for accents. Really, do pay attention to it. Pay attention to it. You want to know why he has a front row seat right here? Because he's going to dominate Mexico for me. That's the reason he's there. You want to know why his wife's there? She's just beautiful. That's the reason. Use prime time to illustrate the new product trends. Pay attention to it, okay? Take advantage of their expenditures, all right? And make the most of this project and have fun doing it.